Blog Talk Radio.
com. Love Vacancy, and we want to welcome all of our listeners on the social networks and, of course, our local listeners on WNN 1470 AM. We want to also take this time to announce that there are some things coming up that are going to be very important for you to be aware of, and any of the events that I'm getting ready to mention can all be found at holisticlifestylesradio.com. We have a very, very special guest in tonight. It's the Sanctuary of Delray. It's in Delray Beach, the Sanctuary in Delray Beach, and they're on with us tonight. But I had spoken with Kim Martin last week, and if you remember our show from January 6th, Kim Martin was on from Antigua, and she was with, of course, the Crossroads of Antigua, and we were interviewing them for the hour. And what a great interview that was. And I was speaking with Kim, and they said that they were looking to promote the Crossroads Guitar Festival coming up. So they gave me the information, shot me the information, and told me all about it, and I'm going to start announcing it at every show. The Crossroads Guitar Festival is sold out, from what I understand at this time, as far as the tickets are concerned. But any money that they can generate will help people to get into treatment that might not necessarily have the funds to be able to get into treatment. And one of the things that Crossroads has been able to accomplish over, you know, the years since 1998 when they opened their doors is they've been able to help a lot of people get into treatment that might not necessarily have been able to get there because they didn't have the financial ways and means to do it. Eric Clapton, being the founder of the Crossroads of Antigua, made that all possible. And he did that how? Well, when he had the responsibility shoveled into his lap that, hey, listen, you know, the only way that this is going to open the doors of Antigua is if you take the bull by the horns and you financially make this happen, because the people that had promised him that they would do it fell out, and it fell in his lap, and he took the bull by the horns, and what did he do? He started to do auctions of his guitars back in the 90s, and he started to raise funds for the center, and hence the doors opened up, and since then they have had the guitar festivals going on, and those guitar festivals are the funds to keep the center going and to help people get the treatment but that might not necessarily have the money to do it. And scores of people have entered into treatment in Antigua and then sent to extended living care like the Sanctuary in Delray Beach because they had a shot because of your donation. So I ask you tonight, if you're listening tonight or the rebroadcast of this tomorrow between 2 and 3, if you can go to crossroadsguitarfestival.com and buy some T-shirts. You know, buy anything that you like. They got the miniature guitars. They got all kinds of different things that are going to be on the website that you can go and you can check out. And here's the good news. After this is all said and done, they also have the DVDs that come out after each one of them. And they have DVDs from the old shows, the past guitar festivals, and they are excellent. If you ever get a chance to purchase some of the DVDs, they are great, great buys, and a large portion of that money goes to helping people in recovery and keeping the doors open in Antigua to be able to help people not only here but all over the islands, that they make it, in some cases, for people in the islands, it's free, if I'm not mistaken. So the bottom line is that I ask you to go to crossroadsguitarfestival.com. Check that out. And if you get lucky enough, you can probably check out. There's places that, you know, you probably spent a whole lot of money for tickets. But you know something, regardless is if you make it to the show or not, if you can help the cause, that's what we're here about. Now, the next thing that we have, and I wanted to formally introduce this tonight, Holistic Treatment and Holistic Conference. And this is going to be in the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. And that's going to be April 28th through the 30th, 2010. And I will be there. And I will be broadcasting live the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th from 2 to 3 every day from the Palms Casino Resort. They're cutting me loose at the Palms Casino. Go figure. And things must be getting better, because a few years ago, they'd have never let me go there. So that's one of the things that are coming up, and we ask you to tune in, and you can find out more information on the website about that. We also have the Half Moon Sober Festival. This is a sober festival that's happening up in the Northeast in New Hampshire on Memorial Day weekend. And we are working out the gory details to be streaming and, of course, broadcasting from WNN, Beasley Broadcasting, for that event on Memorial Day weekend. And then when we get back here to South Florida, we got the Universal Lightworkers Conference from June 11th through the 13th, 2010. So lots of live events coming up, and more of me will be revealed as far as what else is coming up for the rest of the year. So we're looking forward to that. Sunday night, of course, is being sponsored. And we wouldn't be on the air if it wasn't for our sponsors. So we want to thank our sponsors tonight, Sound Pillow, Lakeview Health Group, Brian Chaplin, and Burchard and Associates. And we, of course, thank them for sponsoring the show, for making this broadcast possible from 9 to 10. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to hang tight. When we come back, we are going to have Nancy Steiner. And she is the founder and the executive officer of the Sanctuary in Delray Beach. And, of course, it is a part of Crossroads of Antigua, Eric Clapton. We'll be back right after this message.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today. Toll free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. Or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com. Are you tired of being spiritually bankrupt? Do you want a new life? Lakeview Health Systems, a premier drug, alcohol, and dual diagnosis treatment center, offers a Christian track called A New Life. As a faith-based addiction treatment component for Christians, A New Life at Lakeview offers pastoral counseling, Bible study, prayer, and church attendance while providing a state-of-the-art clinical addiction recovery program. A New Life at Lakeview is accredited by the Joint Commission of Hospital Organizations, reflecting the high standard of care that all patients receive. Do you want a new life? Go online to www.drugrehabforchristians.com or call 800-419-0859. Again, that number is 800-419-0859. Call now to end your spiritual bankruptcy. 800-419-0859 or online at drugrehabforchristians.com. Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Chaplin graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994. For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Chaplin today, or go online at brianstherapy.com. Again, call Brian Chaplin, 561 843-0152 to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152. Online at briantherapy.com.
My name is Charles Beckert. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
Welcome back, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. I'm John Hollis. We are here tonight with Nancy Steiner. Nancy, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, John.
It's a pleasure to have you here with us. And, you know, it's amazing. I've been sitting here, and, like, for the last several hours, I had some things I had to do, like mow the lawn today. You know, I had the honey-do list that I had to take care of. But in the meantime of doing the honey-do list, I had also the opportunity to go online and check out the sanctuary in detail. And amazing place. Amazing place. And from what I understand, you're 28 years sober, is that correct?
No, I'm actually a grateful member of Al-Anon. I lost my brother to this disease.
Oh, okay. So when you worked in the field of addiction for the past 28 years.
Okay. Correct.
And through that, did you start to find yourself really kind of like saying to yourself, you know, I really want to help in ways that, you know, are true help, you know, where somebody can spiritually get a foundation, people can spiritually get help and start moving and motivating and getting their life back into a process?
I feel that, you know, when I actually did a 12-step program to quit smoking. It was an outpatient program that a friend of mine had suggested I do. I was a heavy smoker years and years ago. And they did a 12-step program, and we had to go to 90 meetings, 90 days, and I kept saying, but I only smoke. And finding out that it was truly an addiction for me, and my facilitator, I was grateful because he said, I want you to go up and be a detox nurse. You were meant to be one. And I did one of my, I don't know, I walked through the doors of the detox, and I just knew that's where I belonged. There was no doubt in my mind. It had been, my specialty was psych when I first got out of nursing school, but that never, you know, it was not the one thing that really grabbed me. And then I walked through the doors, and it was from there on I worked in detox. I've worked in every kind of aspect of addiction since then.
And 28 years later.
Yes.
Here we are.
And still working at it.
And one of the things that I understand is you are the executive officer and the founder of the sanctuary in Delray.
Yes.
And one of the things that I understand is it's only a 15-bed facility, but only doesn't mean only. Because, you know, you tend to hear around the industry, oh, I have 70 beds. Oh, I got 120 beds. See, I would rather have a smaller bed count and a more quality hands-on individualized treatment, which I can see from everything that I've read and the people that I have talked to, that's what you're all about. You're all about taking each individual, female and male, and saying, listen, this is who you can be, and we can help you get there. So when you work with a 15-bed facility and you have the hands-on with each individual person, when you individualize their treatment, how do you do that? Do you do that from the moment they go into the treatment process at Antigua, or maybe somebody's coming from another place? Do you start that process from the very beginning, or how does that work?
Well, we try to work with the case managers or whoever the referent is. The client is coming from treatment. They've had treatment. That's the ideal scenario. We are the transition from treatment, I say, to the real world.
Okay.
The longer people are in a continuum of care, it's a proven fact that the longer people can be engaged in any form of treatment, step down, continuing care, they're more successful because they have the time to start working the program, start having the guidance around them, but still living in a real world.
Mm. And what are some of the modalities that you start to work with when somebody comes in? I mean, are you looking to get a person involved in the 12-step process right away, get a group, get a sponsor, or do you get them, like, you know, centralized and get them, like, hanging out for a week and get them used to being at the facility? How does that work?
Well, our philosophy is to make sure that the home that they're going to come to live in is we're going to become part of that family, and they become part of the family. I'm grateful that I can still talk to guys that have graduated 4 years ago, and they'll call me up, and they're getting married now, and life is good. And that's, what it's all about. I think that, you know, we can't use the word treatment because that's not what we do. Treatment, hopefully they've had good treatment wherever they've come from to us. We get a lot of referrals from all over the country, all over the world now. And when they come to us, they make a commitment to us for 3 months. They're going to stay with us. They're going to get a sponsor. They're going to follow the 12 steps. They're going to go to a meeting every day. Our job is to guide them in learning how to live. A lot of them don't have very good tools. They've been out using for many years. My youngest client was 18, and my oldest was 75.
Wow.
And he had absolutely no idea why he would want to go to a halfway house and live in transitional living.
Well, we were just talking about this before we came on the air, and he had his birthday. Right?
He had his 75th birthday with us, and we always have a birthday cake for the guys. And he said, "We made a whole dinner for him." And he said, "Why do I get dinner?" I said, "If you're 75 and in a halfway house, transitioning into real world again, you're 75, you deserve dinner and then some."
So give me some of the, you know, some of the stories that you would recall. You know, of course, anonymity is always in place, but some of the people that you've seen that came in that are miracles today in your eyes.
There's so many of them that I hear and I think about, but I remember, you know, some of them just that come to mind. I remember a young man that came to us on New Year's Day, actually. His father drove him from Louisiana. He had been in treatment, and he was not very happy to be with us, obviously. And, you know, I said, you know, it's 3 months out of your life. Give it what you can. And, I took him down. He said, "Well, I won't be able to get a job, and I'm not going to be able to do this." And I said, and he was fairly young. And I happened to be taking our poor dog that passed away. One of the guys had found her at the pound. We were taking her down to get groomed, and I said, "Why don't you get in the car and go with me, and we'll see if we can find you something." And I walked in, and he loved dogs. So he walked in, got a job washing the dogs. He ended up, the PS, the whole story was he met his wife-to-be. He got a job there. He is now a dog groomer in Louisiana. He owns his own company, and they have set up a whole dog grooming business. And he called me on his, like, I think his four-year sobriety date, and he said, "I just want you to know, not only am I married, I have a whole career from one walk through a dog parlor."
That's an unbelievable story.
It's the little things.
When you envision your vision, and because this is all part of your vision.
Always.
And your vision was that when you decided to put this together, how long ago was it?
In 2004, but I had worked for Crossroads Center in Antigua as their clinical outreach person. I was a wonderful job, and I was able to do outreach here in the United States, help clients go to Antigua, arrange for clients that didn't have money to be able to get partial scholarships so that they could go to Antigua. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found working there is when you would put people in treatment, not only there but other places as well, sometimes when they got out, you didn't have anything to offer them. And that was my focus, and I kept thinking, if I just had something. And so I was grateful. My husband was very supportive, and he said, "Just do it yourself." Mm-hmm. And I had worked in every phase in nursing, from inpatient detox to outpatient programs, and I've done it all, I think, at some point. But my thing was to see people actually come from treatment and actually start to get planted in recovery. It's like, I always kind of picture it like roots. You know, you go, you get the treatment, and then you need the time. You have to get the tools for the toolbox so that you can start using them. And every time I see that happen, I see it, you know, it's not about how you get there. It's what you do when you get there.
And that being said, when you had that formal vision and your husband said, you know, something, this is great, you just go do it yourself, there had to be that underlying fear of, wow, you know something, okay, I can go do it now. Now I have to actually put one foot in front of the other and make it happen. And you were telling me the story, you were riding down the street and seeing a house.
Exactly. I saw the first house we got, and my husband said, and my husband's a CPA, I'm all clinical, and I love what I do, but I'm not the man that puts it all together in the background. And he was. And he could see what I wanted. And we ended up with, he said, it's just not going to work because there's not enough room. 2 or 3 weeks later, we were riding by, and I rode by, and the house next door was for sale. And I said, okay, God, here it is. This is it. And I called him, and that was the process from there.
So you now have, how many houses are all?
We have 3 homes for men,
okay.
And they're all next door to each other. And they're all surrounded by a backyard that they can walk back and forth, and they have a meditation pond in one. And so it's all connected, and our women are about half a mile away in a home all by themselves. And our women's program is all women. They're supervised by women for women.
Okay.
Our men's program, exactly the same. I'm probably the only one that gets to walk back and forth from all the places. I have people that I was very, very grateful to run into that in my other lives, working for different other organizations here in Florida. And I had worked with a young man at Hanley when I worked there at Hanley Center, and he actually joined me when we started. He's still with me. My manager in the evening is still the guy I put in treatment at Crossroads years ago.
Wow.
And
wow.
He came out of treatment. I put him in, and they gave him a partial scholarship to go, and he was forever grateful to Crossroads for that because he's still sober and doing his job.
And when I look at your bio and your history, and it's almost like the history of your life and what you did for a living almost was like a paving. You can almost see where this was like a perfect fit for what you were doing.
Absolutely.
And that your heart was really in everything that you were, you know, this wasn't just a career. This was
just
more
never
than,
be just a career. And I was, and the other plus to the whole thing was that I was able to go back to work for Crossroads, which was always someplace I respected, and for the work that Mr. Clapton did. And I was able to go back there, and now I represent them because they purchased the property and me, I guess. And we are now going into our 6th year for the men and our 2nd year for the women.
That's an amazing story. And you know, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Crossroads of Antigua, and we're going to talk about how that all came to play and the whole story of Eric Clapton and how that all started. We'll bring it right into where we're at tonight.
Great.
We'll be back right
Thanks.
After this message.
I'm strolling down the garden park.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488, or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com. Are you tired of being spiritually bankrupt? Do you want a new life? Lakeview Health Systems, a premier drug, alcohol, and dual diagnosis treatment center, offers a Christian track called A New Life.
As a faith-based addiction treatment component for Christians, A New Life at Lakeview offers pastoral counseling, Bible study, prayer, and church attendance while providing a state-of-the-art clinical addiction recovery program. A New Life at Lakeview is accredited by the Joint Commission of Hospital Organizations, reflecting the high standard of care that all patients receive. Do you want a new life? Go online to www.drugrehabforchristians.com or call 800-419-0859. Again, that number is 800-419-0859. Call now to end your spiritual bankruptcy, 800-419-0859, or online at drugrehabforchristians.com. Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Shafflin graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994. For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Shafflin today, or go online at briansTherapy.com. Again, call Brian Shafflin, 561-843-0152, to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152, online at briansTherapy.com.
My name is Charles Beckert. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. Now back to today's show.
All right, welcome back. And of course, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, all about addiction recovery. And we have the opportunity tonight to have the Sanctuary in Delray Beach with us. And, of course, the Sanctuary in Delray Beach is a part of the Crossroads of Antigua Foundation and Eric Clapton's Crossroads. We are speaking tonight with Nancy Steiner. And Nancy Steiner is the founder and the executive officer. And she founded the Sanctuary, and then the Antigua properties came in and actually bought everything for the Crossroads of Antigua to be like a subsidiary of that. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're a subsidiary of the foundation.
Okay. And how does that work?
If you kind of looked at a flow chart, it would be the foundation, the Crossroads Foundation is the head top of it, and underneath that is the Crossroads Center in Antigua is on one side, and the Sanctuary of Delray Beach is on the other.
Okay. And when did that transaction take place?
That was in December of 2006.
Okay. And when they made that commitment, that must have been exciting for you.
It was scary. And it wasn't scary. It was exciting, but it was like, I don't know, maybe because it was like I had worked for them before and I was so proud to work for them in the past. And I was so excited that they were interested in doing this. But it was because Mr. Clapton was interested in doing, he's always interested in doing more for somebody. And it was the continuum of care that he was interested in. There was nothing to offer. In Antigua, there is a place called Bevan House, which they built. Bevan House is free to the Antiguans. They can go there free for a year.
Wow.
It's a halfway house transitional living for them, just so they can transition into getting a job and working again. And that is free for the Caribbean clients. And they don't have anything. And he had nothing for anybody coming back to the U.S. Obviously, we can't work on the same basis, but what he wanted to know was that there was some place that he respected and he was part of and put his stamp of approval on. And I had worked for the foundation before, so it was a nice segue into that.
Did you, when the whole process started to take place and you had already been working for him, you knew that this, like, all began. And if you're just tuning in, one of the things that the foundation all started back in 1992. And it was a concept and an idea of course, Eric Clapton, Mr. Eric Clapton. And if you don't know who he is, you've been living under a rock. But if by some chance you don't, he's a legendary Hall of Fame rock and roller. And he is a gentleman that is in recovery himself and makes no bones about it, wrote a book about it, and had this vision in 1992 to open up a treatment center in the islands. And he did that. And it started in 1992, and I want you to just kind of, like, you know, tell your end of the story on how that all took place so our listeners can understand how it all – it's been like – over the years, all of these new things happening and new help and a new wave. Every once in a while, he sends out a new wave of things.
Yeah, it's a process that I think in his vision he started. He saw the property. I saw pictures. We just had our 10-year reunion in November, and we were there, and it was amazing to watch the pictures of when they first broke ground. He found the property and then got involved in it. And this is, an evolution story, getting involved in something that was a huge project, a huge monetary commitment for him, and the people that he was with backed out and left him with it. And he either had to go forward and take a chance, and that's when he decided he would do everything he could do to make the dream happen. He really had a commitment to the Caribbean clients. He has a home in Antigua. He had a recording studio there in his home, and he did a lot of his writing there. And he loves the island. He loves the people. And he saw the drug problem was horrible there, as it is in a lot of the islands, and he decided that's what he was going to do. So he took it upon himself to start selling guitars and doing, you know, whatever it took to finish that project. And he opened it up. I don't know how many beds exactly, but we now have 36 beds. Six are designated detox beds,
yep.
And 30 are for client treatment. And but it's, again, an ongoing process that's been forever. And then Bevan House came in, and he's always looking to do more for people. And part of the monies that are raised at the guitar festival, I mean, I've seen it happen myself, so I know that it's true. I've been at both of the festivals, and I've been part of the process of putting somebody in treatment right from one of the festivals, actually, which was an amazing story.
Tell us that story, because I think that was a great story you told me.
I was at the Dallas Guitar Festival, and a young lady kept coming up to the booth, and you could see she was kind of circling us a few times. And so she came back twice, and the next day she came back in the morning and said, you know, I really need some help. I've got a terrible problem, and my husband is a musician, but we don't have any money. We literally took her in the back of the display, and we sat down with her. We did a whole intake, myself and one of the other Antiguan employees, and we put her in treatment. Right from there, Fender Guitar had a guitar that was, it was just, the story is amazing. And we had her on
goosebumps.
A plane. Yeah, it was
the
just.
Holy goosebumps.
She, it was a God thing. It really, truly was. Everything just went the way it was supposed to go, and everybody was able to do their part to make it happen for her.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the stories that, you know, I've been hearing since we met tonight have been, like, really cool stories about people just, you know, being at the right place at the right time and God just making things happen and being, you know, us being the instrument and letting God work through us. And it's amazing that this whole process since 1992, since the vision started to happen and then the breaking ground and then where you're at today with the sanctuary and all the Crossroads Guitar Festival and the whole process, what an amazing, amazing God thing, because it just kept happening that any adversity that came in the way, God opened it up for other things that made it better. Because let's think about it. If it had gone in the corporate sense, it probably would not be where it's at today.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think that everything was just the way it was supposed to happen.
Absolutely.
And when you look at it, like, I remember the first time when I went to Dallas to see, when I saw the Crossroads logo across that stage, I actually, besides getting chills, I mean, I actually brought tears to my eyes because I thought, it's all because of him and this that all these people can get help.
Mm.
You know, it's all there for them, and it's all because of him and his vision.
I was sitting, and it was 2004, and I've never really told this story, but it was 2004, and I was in, like, one of the darkest periods of my life and my addiction, and I mean, I was strung out real, 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 real bad, and I ended up being invited to a Clapton concert, and I was at the concert, and somebody reminded me that he was in recovery. I got back, long story short, I ended up going to his website, Clapton.com, and there's this little thing on there, and it says, Antigua Treatment Center, click here. So I'm like high as a kite, and I click on this thing, and this video opens up. I mean, it didn't even go to the, it was just straight to a video, and this video was 15 minutes of him telling his story. And I was hooked. I now, for the next, and I mean, this might sound nuts, but for the next 3 months, I smoked crack, shot dope, and watched Eric Clapton's video. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy, if this guy can do it, anybody can do it. If this guy can stay sober, and it wasn't so much the fact that he got sober, that's amazing, but the adversity he went through in his recovery and didn't pick up. I mean, he went through some traumatic things with his son, with all the rest of things, and did not pick up, and his motivating factor was what? Putting other people in front of his
Always.
Recovery.
Always.
Amazing stuff, man. We're going to be back after this message. We'll have more about, of course, Antigua Crossroads and the Sanctuary in Delray Beach.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll-free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488, or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com. Are you tired of being spiritually bankrupt? Do you want a new life? Lakeview Health Systems, a premier drug, alcohol, and dual diagnosis treatment center, offers a Christian track called A New Life. As a faith-based addiction treatment component for Christians, A New Life at Lakeview offers pastoral counseling, Bible study, prayer and church attendance while providing a state-of-the-art clinical addiction recovery program. A New Life at Lakeview is accredited by the Joint Commission of Hospital Organizations, reflecting the high standard of care that all patients receive. Do you want a new life? Go online to www.drugrehabforchristians.com or call 800-419-0859. Again, that number is 800-419-0859. Call now to end your spiritual bankruptcy, 800-419-0859, or online at drugrehabforchristians.com. Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Shafflett graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994.
For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Shafflin today, or go online at brianstherapy.com. Again, call Brian Shafflin, 561-843-0152, to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152, online at brianstherapy.com.
My name is Charles Beckert. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now back to today's show.
Hey, welcome back. Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. And, of course, we are hanging out tonight with the Sanctuary in Delray Beach. And let me tell you, I'm getting to know Nancy as we talk, and, you know, this has been really kind of cool for me because she was just telling me that you guys have your own park.
We adopted a park about a couple years ago now, and we have our own sign on it, but the guys take care of it. They go up and clean it, and they get it ready so that the kids can play on it. It's a wonderful way to give back. And plus, you know, I don't care if you're living in Delray at, you know, a transitional living for 3 months or 3 years, or you live in town, you give back to where you live.
Absolutely. And what are some of the other things that you guys do? I understand you painted a wall in
downtown
Delray.
The wall that's down by the beach. The guys started on one end and worked their way all the way down. I have
signatures on it?
No, they were pretty good. They had a little problem when they got near the grass, though. They had to get a little technique there. The guy that does my volunteers, he works for me now. He went through the sanctuary, and he wanted to give back. So he used to come pick the guys up and just go downtown and do things like clean the beach. Then he got more involved with the city, and he picks the guys up in the morning. If they don't have a job when they get there, they volunteer. They do the soup kitchen. They unload the trucks and paint. They do whatever the city needs. We've got a really nice reputation with the city for showing up and doing a good job, so that they call him automatically and just say, you know, we need somebody to unload a truck, or we need somebody at the soup kitchen or whatever. So
I would love to, first of all, if you're listening and you've been listening up until this point, it's the Sanctuary, DelrayBeach.com. You want to check out the website, incredible website. You can also, and here's the amazing part, you can put in the Sanctuary and Google it, and they come up at the top. The Sanctuary in Florida,
really?
They come up to the top.
That's good.
So, but you definitely, if you're going to Google it, just Google the Sanctuary in Delray Beach, and they're at the top, and you can click and find it that way. But again, it's www.sanctuarydelraybeach.com, and check them out there. They can also be reached at their office number at 561-278-2797. A great way to be able to find out more information about themselves and, of course, Crossroads Center of Antiqua. And you can check them out also by going to, and I got to find out their information.
CrossroadsAntigua.org.
Yeah, that's it, CrossroadsAntigua.org. And you can also call down or speak with Kim Martin at 888-452-0091. So either way, they can get the help that they need. They can either call you directly, mm-hmm. and you can help them out. And, of course, Nancy has dedicated her life over the last 28 years to helping people in recovery, and the founder and executive officer of the Sanctuary in Delray Beach, and made this all possible and had it all come to really be one big happy family with Antigua in 2006.
Correct. It was a great opportunity for all of us. I think that they're happy that they did exactly what we wanted. We have that continuum of care, and we are able to take people from all over the world.
Mm. Well, that's what, I had Kim on, and Kim was saying that. It was amazing, and Lynn was saying it also. It was amazing. They can, because of where she's at now, Lynn was talking about, that she's been able to really kind of, meet people from all over the world. So if they have somebody that's transitioning out that's going to London, they got somebody there. They got somebody transitioning out to Australia, they got somebody there. So they have all of these networks put together of real qualified and quality places for people to go, like yourself at the Sanctuary.
Yes, we just had one of our therapists that's in the UK, who is our clinical outreach person in the UK, when they're going back there. And he was just here in December, and he hadn't had the opportunity to see the Sanctuary. And he came and spent a week with us and visited, and he was a speaker at one of the big book studies and just did a really great job. But he was just so amazed at the segue from treatment to this type of living. And even if it's not the Sanctuary, but the idea of that continuum of care and then going back to wherever you came from, And we still have contact people now all over the, we had a guy from South Africa. We had a guy from UK. Just wonderful outreach. It's just a great place to be.
If you're tuning in, I mean, here's the reality of it. When you look at what goes into this to make this whole process work, it all comes down to, of course, funding. And how do they get their funding? They get it through people going to different festivals that they have and donating money. One way that you can help this whole cause out is crossroadsguitarfestival.com. You can go on that website. You can buy some of the past DVDs. And I got to tell you, when you see like Eric Clapton and the different artists that he performs with, and you can actually, see the DVDs and the quality, high-quality DVDs, it's great, great shows. Carlos Santana and him do a guitar jam that is just unbelievable. I actually seen that. It's an incredible thing. So all of these past shows are there. Some of the people that are going to be at this year's show, by the way, is going to be Jeff Beck, Buddy Guy, the Allman Brothers, B.B. King, John Mayer, Sheryl Crow, Steve Winwood, ZZ Top. I mean, this list goes on and on and on. Jimmy Vaughn, I know Eric Clapton was Stevie Ray Vaughan's sponsor,
right?
At one point.
Absolutely.
Right? And so you have all of these people that are going to be stepping up to the plate for the cause.
I think they're very, they really, it's like getting a bunch of guys together that have a good time. They're all musicians. They're all wonderful in their own right. But to watch them all, I guess, play together, and I mean that literally, they have the best time, but they also know they're doing it for such a wonderful cause. And they, they called, I'm sure that that's what it's all about for them.
Give me a week at the Sanctuary.
We get the Sanctuary. Mom, you'd be coming in. First of all, we usually talk. If you were coming in to us, we would be talking to the referent, whoever was going to be asking, for us to take you. We usually talk to the family. We like to keep the family very involved if that's a part of the program, because ultimately decisions have to be made down the line. It may not be right then, but we like to keep everybody in the loop. When they come through the door, everything is there. We have a mayor for the week.
Cool.
We have jobs to do. Everybody, I think that there's a process where people say, it's so nice. Well, it's nice for a reason. First of all, we take a lot of pride in it. But second of all, you could still get the same job done in something nice. And if that means to me, and one of the things I would do is I would find somebody who maybe had a profession and said, I won't go into a halfway house. I will not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they go home, relapse, back to treatment. And this is an ongoing process.
And lose their job, by the way, which is a good possibility.
I have an insurance executive that was with me for 7 months, and he went home. He came into town, I don't know how many times, maybe five, detoxed, went to treatment, and went home, relapse. He finally said, I give up. I don't care. And he said, but I'm not going to a dump. I'm just not. And he could afford us. You know, he could afford to do what he wanted to do. He came through the door, and he said, Nancy, I am not leaving till you tell me I can leave. And 7 months later, I said, okay, you're ready to go. He's got, you know, he could afford to stay, which was a luxury for him, but it was also a luxury that he got sober that way because he wouldn't have done it.
So that process of going to Big Book studies and...
We have Big Book come in. We have a Big Book study. We have a therapist who does an education group off-property.
Okay.
We have jobs that they're responsible for. They have to work, go to school, or volunteer at least 20 hours a week.
Wow.
We have a life coach that meets with them twice when they first get there to kind of say, okay, now what do you want to do when you grow up? Some people have already had careers. They don't need another career. So they might be the one person out there that's painting that wall on Delray Beach. But that's fine. You know,
absolutely.
That's great for them. They're giving back. They're being part of a community. I think that people need to get planted and be part of something. They have been all, usually they're isolators and they're not, you know, they're not by themselves for a long time. And all of a sudden they've got a new family that's sitting in their living room and five other guys are with you. And now what do I do? And it's part of a process.
And that process also includes things like random drug testing.
Always.
Always finding out the family aspect of it and being able to help integrate the families back in if there is families. Is that correct?
Right. And they also have curfews, and they're responsible to be there and let us know. It's not optional that you can't be home on time.
Okay.
Again, it's learning to be responsible again. We have a community dinner on Sunday night that somebody makes the entree. We give them money. They have to figure out what they're going to feed everybody, and it can't be burgers and hot dogs, which is famous for them. And some of them have gotten quite creative. We actually had a guy who went back to chef school because he found out he liked cooking. So he was the one that kept hosting. So he said, you know, I think I might like to do this. But that, again, it's being part of something and being responsible. You can't show up at 5:10 and decide what you're going to make for dinner when everybody's waiting.
At 5:30.
Yeah, and that's the deal. And that's when the hamburgers and hot dogs get to be very popular. But, no, it's learning to plan ahead. We help with doctor's appointments to make sure they get to where they're supposed to go. If they came with an idea that the doctor, like the psychiatrist, has to be contacted, we make sure that they have follow-up with that. They're on their medications. They're responsible for them, but they have to have somebody guiding them.
Mm. You know, you're a lovely lady.
Thank you.
Got to tell you. And I also want to, you know, express an invitation that anytime that you want to, you know, come back on the show or you want to, you know, any events that you might be having, you let us know. We'll make sure that we announce them for you. I believe totally in what the whole process coming out of the islands all the way to what you guys are doing here locally. And I back it 100%, and anything I can do to help that mission, I'm willing to help. So bottom line is that if you're listening tonight, you're listening, of course, to the Sanctuary in Delray Beach, and you're listening to the founder and executive officer, Nancy Steiner, and she can be reached by going to www.sanctuarydelraybeach.com. You can find out all the information there, because I know how the new generation is. You want to look before you call. So you go to the website, and then you can call this phone number at 561-278-2797, and you can speak directly to Nancy, and she will answer questions and anything that you might have as far as that can be locally, or if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, or you're listening on Facebook or Twitter or the home website or any of the other interfaces that we have out there on innerrooms.com. If you're listening tonight and you or tomorrow when we rebroadcast this between 2 and 3, I want you to understand that you can make this phone call and they will answer your questions. Very nice, down-to-earth people. They're not there to, you know, jam anything down anybody's throat, but they are there to help, and that's the good news. I want to, of course, thank you, Nancy, for coming in. And is there anything in closing that you would like to say to the listeners?
No, I thank you for inviting me, obviously, but I really think that the most important thing is helping everybody else. If it's not the sanctuary, we will help you get what you need. And sometimes it's not the right match for that specific person, but it's all about recovery. It's about getting steeped in the 12 steps. And if you can't do that for other people, that's what it's about. And that's what we do.
Well, and that's the universal guide to love, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's all about helping that other guy.
Absolutely. Well, listen, again, we want to thank you. We want to thank the Sanctuary in Delray Beach for having you here tonight as the founder and as the executive officer and all the work that you put into making it what it is today. And we want to thank, of course, Franz behind the glass for a great, great first hour. Now, tonight's an unusual night because normally what we do is we do the second hour live, and then we do like a pre-recorded thing from like 11 to 12. We're actually going to be live for 3 hours tonight.
Wow.
So we're on a roll tonight, baby. We're going to go to our top of the hour break, and when we come back, we got more Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, more about addiction recovery. We'll be back around 3 minutes after 10 or so.
Thank you so much.
Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Shafliff graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994. For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Shafflin today or go online at brianstherapy.com. Again, call Brian Shafflin, 561-843-0152 to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152 online at brianstherapy.com.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience. Are you tired of being spiritually bankrupt? Do you want a new life? Lakeview Health Systems, a premier drug, alcohol, and dual diagnosis treatment center, offers a Christian track called A New Life. As a faith-based addiction treatment component for Christians, A New Life at Lakeview offers pastoral counseling, Bible study, prayer, and church attendance while providing a state-of-the-art clinical addiction recovery program. A New Life at Lakeview is accredited by the Joint Commission of Hospital Organizations, reflecting the high standard of care that all patients receive. Do you want a new life? Go online to www.drugrehabforchristians.com or call 800-419-0859. Again, that number is 800-419-0859. Call now to end your spiritual bankruptcy. 800-419-0859 or online at drugrehabforchristians.com.
Standing at the crossroads, trying to read the signs to tell me which way I should go. Find the answer, and all the time I know. Grant your love and let it go.
Let it go, let it go. Let it blossom, let it sow.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. This program is sponsored by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day right here on AM 1470 WNN. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. All broadcast rights to this program are the property of Holistic Lifestyles Radio, Incorporated. Rebroadcast of any portion of this program without express written consent is prohibited. The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors. WWNN, Pompano Beach.
Hello, I'm Agriculture Commissioner Charles Bronson. The 2004 hurricanes that devastated our state left a trail of broken and uprooted trees. When dead limbs, brush, and treetops dry, they become fuel for wildfires that can threaten our homes and forests. If you live near a forest or wildland area, there are simple things you can do to protect your home from wildfire. Create a clean and green landscape around your home. Collect debris for curbside pickup if it's available. Remove leaves and storm debris from roofs and gutters. Don't create a fire hazard by piling dead limbs and other debris on a nearby vacant lot or woodland. And most importantly, before burning yard trash, check with the local office of the Division of Forestry so you know how to burn safely and legally. Help prevent wildfires. For information, visit the FireWise Communities website at www.firewise.org or contact the local office of the Florida Division of Forestry.
Why are you so distant?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org, brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Forget the mattress and cookie jar. There's a much safer place to put your money, in a bank insured by the FDIC. If you have up to $250,000 in checking, savings, or a CD, you can't lose a penny. Your money is 100% protected. Visit FDIC.gov to learn more or call 1-877-ASK-FDIC. The more you know, the safer your money.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. The second half, or the second third of a whole. We're on from 10 to 11, and then from 11 to 12. So we've been on. Now we're going to be riding out for 3 hours tonight. We got the Chris D from the First Steps Overhouse, and hey, Chris. And
yeah,
it's always good to have Chris in with us. We get a perspective tonight. From, you know, again, we had the sanctuary on in Delray, and a great lady. And then, of course, we're going with Chris D. with the First Steps Overhouse. And understand, you know, when you talk about addiction, I think everybody knows, Chris, that, you know, you don't know where the elevator is going to end for you. It might end at death. But you don't know where you're going to get off at that elevator. And if you still have things and you still have, you know, all of the, you know, modes and means and all of those things are still there, that's great. But then there's the people that are on the, you know, rack because they smoke too much crack. And
know it well.
And let's look at it from that perspective, because you deal with both. You deal with people that call you up and say, hey, listen, you know, I need a real structured living environment, like almost a TC, and I need to come to your type of program because you have those levels of TC therapeutic-like community. And you have the person that calls up and says, hey, listen, you know, I want to be with you because, you know, and I'm willing to pay for it because you, you know, come highly recommended. But at the same time, you also have the court person coming out that, you know, the judge says, listen, they're in a little denial, and I'm going to help them out with it, and we're going to send them to you.
On that river.
Yeah. So when you start to deal with the person that's coming in, how does that whole process work? Let's get down to letting people know how the First Step Sober House deals with the process of bringing in a person.
Well, you know, like you said, there's two avenues to get there, and, you know, one is what we call the walk-in, who is, you know, just comes in because they have found themselves in a place where their weight just is not working, and oh, so many, myself included. You know, every attempt I made at readjusting my life failed, and because I've come to learn that my best thinking got me in these chairs, you know, in the rooms of recovery, and ultimately as a client at First Step back in the 90s. And then, you know, obviously you have the ones that are court-ordered, and there's a little more motivation on that because obviously you have a contract with the state of Florida that you need to live up to, and if you default on that, the repo man cometh.
Absolutely.
And they don't have pickup trucks.
Yeah,
they have ski masks on.
They come in with, I remember a judge saying to me one time, listen, you can either come with your taxi or I can send mine, and if I send mine, you're going to be spending a long time with me.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a lot of admiration for the person who comes in as a walk-in, whether they're coming off the street or they might have been in some form of treatment facility and they're stepping down to a transitional phase where they're reassimilating back into the world with some structure and still having a little bit over their head, and they're learning how to live life on life's terms. And, you know, they come in, it's definitely a different environment. It's not some place where everything's laid out for you and it's you know, matching everything, and very, as they use the word, Gucci. I don't like to use it, but, you know, a lot of treatment centers are have that status because of possibly the clients that they, you know, that they cater to, or it's just the environment. You know, it's a closed environment. You're there for 28, maybe 40 days or whatever the people feel. And you're coming out of there where everything is laid out, your itinerary set, and you can do well there. I mean, I did well in places like that. I also did well in when I was incarcerated because the door was shut, and you become a team player because you don't have much of a choice. It's that or you sit around your rack, you know. And so they come into a place like First Step, and, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you that we're not the only game in town, and there are plenty of other vehicles in which you can transition into the world on. We've just been doing a pretty good job of it. You know?
Well, let's talk about the zero tolerance, because, like the sanctuary, you're zero tolerance.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important to be said. You know, that, you know, that continuous, it's okay, you know, to relapse is not a good thing.
No, it's not, because it's sort of like when a person gets into the rooms of recovery and someone tells them to easy does it, take it easy, you know, let's just work on your first step for a month or two. Wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. I might die in the process. I need to get down to the causes and conditions. I need to find out why it is I keep on doing what I always do and keep on getting what I always get, you know. And that lends into zero tolerance. I mean, if you are in an environment in which, you know, relapse is an option because it's tolerated, then, you know, I'm an addict, and I have a manipulative mind. I like the dope fiend and con. You know the type, right, John?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And so I can plan. And come on, we're schemers.
I grew up with somebody like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, it was me.
And, you know, I don't put it down, but I can tell you that it's not healthy. And people have died in the process, you know, and that's something to take note of.
As you know, it was funny. I was sitting in a meeting last night, and one of the things that we were talking about is the progression.
Mm-hmm.
The progression of alcoholism as a whole. You know, when I walked in the door at 18 years old, Chris, and I, you know, said to myself, wow, this AA thing is good for all these old people. let me rephrase that. I just, Freudian slip, I shouldn't have said it. I apologize, the 11th tradition. I walked into my first 12-step meeting, and I said, all these old people are really, really in need of this, but I'm fine. You just, you know, I got a little couple of problems, you know.
Bad luck.
I'm telling you, if my dad would just leave me alone, if my mom would just leave me, if the dog would just do what I told him, yeah, all of the excuses. And it's funny, I stayed with those excuses for about 20 years.
Hey, we still have them, but there's not as many.
Well, hey, the good news is that the understanding that first anything, that first me smoking crack, that first hit off of a joint, that first taking a shot of tequila, that first one, mad, glad, or sad, I can't take that. Because what happens is when I take that first one, I cannot predict what's going to happen.
Well, it sets the train in motion.
Correct.
You know, and I've always been adamant about that. You know, it's been a very long time since I've had to drink or drug, and I'm very grateful for that. And I was just speaking to the guys the other night. I said, you know, this cunning, baffling nature of the disease is very simple. I can sit here just like they talk about. There's a story in one of our books about the guy that had gone to a rehab, and he never drank, retired, very successful, kicked back in his in his bathrobe and his slippers, and decided, hey, you know, I've had a very successful life. My kids are happy. Everyone's happy. I can have just one.
Mm.
And it went well, you know, and then he died soon after.
6 months later.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure and I know that I could probably convince myself, you know, that, you know, I can go, the game's on. I can kick back with one or two. And I do that and I get away with it.
Mm.
And now that obsessive thinking starts kicking back in that, hey, you know, yeah, two, you're okay. And, you know, I don't know where that, when that switch turns on, where the full-out addiction is going to kick in and then re-ruin my life, you know.
Well, here's, and to bring it to a real, real understanding for myself, every time in the last 5 years that I would make that, the last 5 years of my active addiction, and that I made the decision after a small time of abstinence, that I would say to myself, you know something, I can go, you know, spend $40.
Who's watching?
I can, you know, well, it isn't even so, because I didn't, you know, me, I didn't care who was watching. You know,
I do know you, and no one did, you know, you didn't care.
I didn't care. But the thing was, it was like, in my own mind, I would say, you know, it's only 40, yeah, I can do that. And I knew every time I was doing it that this is garbage. This is not true. You are lying to yourself. And I would do that first one, and literally within 10 minutes I was homeless. I would, Lori says it perfectly. She said I am the only guy she has ever seen that will smoke crack and within 10 minutes be as dirty as I would be if I was out there for 6 months.
Here I go again, the again.
Unbelievable,
you know,
man. And so here's the reality of relapse is that if I choose to keep putting myself back into those predicaments and I continue to think to myself, you know something, it's going to be different this time, I am eventually going to do two things. My spirit gets beat down. See, it's harder and harder to come back. And you get to that point, and I think you experience it, where you're so beat up, where it's like, man, I want to get sober, but I just don't want to put the effort in anymore. I'm just so tired of being beat up. And then that's where you're like really gone. And that's where an act of God, the grace of God, has to come in and expel the obsession. And you need to do some work for that, don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I just want to put something out there. You know, you talk about that, and I've seen it so often, you know, and some people get to the point where they're just that level of which I was very grateful that I got to a point of exhaustion, and I finally surrendered. But I've seen people pass that, you know, and they just don't care anymore.
Yep.
And a friend of ours just passed Thursday. Is no longer with us. His name is Greg H. They called him the Gregor.
Mm-hmm.
And he never woke up.
Wow.
And he died an active addiction, and, you know, God rest his soul. He was a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. and I've known him for years, and I'm going to miss him. And, you know, on the other side of it, then, there's the blessings of recovery. And I said that to say this, because I have a client that on Friday morning, I got the phone call that he had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he, Arnie, we miss you, buddy,
mm-hmm.
and we love you. And he died sober.
Wow.
He died, I guess, on his way to the hospital from First Step, and he had, you know, he was a vet. He had medical conditions, and, you know, he wanted to come home, and he was home, and it just, his body quit.
Wow.
His body quit, and, you know, I know his daughter is very hurt right now, but she's, you know, I spoke to her the other day, and she said how proud she was of him, you know.
How much time did he have when he went?
He had a few years.
It's beautiful.
You know, and he was big in the recovery community, and he was loved by everybody. He had a great sense of humor. And, you know, he realized that he had done a lot of damage to himself, and this is the thing that doesn't have to happen, is, and thank God that the idea of recovery is so much more popular today than it was, and so much more available than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Wow,
people don't have to get to a place where they've gone past certain points with their bodies that, although they might get sober, the damage is so severe that there's no way of, you know, their liver goes bad and their kidneys and things start to shut down.
The Hep C and mm-hmm. all of the rest of the things.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's ugly out there.
It is, and we don't have to get there. We just don't.
And that's a beautiful story, because even though it occurred and unfortunately he's passed on, the fortunate information of that is that we can die sober with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was sober about a year, and Marina Mike passed away, and I went to his memorial. And anybody that knew Marina Mike was great. You know, he's like, he died with, like, I think it was like 12 or 15 years, was somewhere in that span. And he had that consistent time period. And he died of cancer and would not take any pain medication. And literally, and I would not suggest that to anybody. I mean, if you're in that kind of a pain, you got to do what you got to do. But in this particular case, old crusty dude just sat around and said, hey, listen, I'm going out, and I'm going out happy. And, you know, the amazing part was he never said a word. And he said at one time in a meeting that he had actually had lung cancer. And the rest of the time, didn't say a word and was there helping newcomers coming in right to almost the end of when he went into hospice. Literally at the door, shaking hands, you know, welcoming newcomers. Just amazing stuff, man. And that, when I went to his memorial, I sat down and I listened, and there were so many people there, and they were telling stories, man. They were telling, like, true, loving, you know, and I had to think to myself, I was a year sober, and I had to think to myself, if they came in and was talking about my legacy, what would they be saying? It would not be good.
We can't talk about it on the radio.
We can't. That's X-rated, baby.
Yeah.
So what do I want to do to have a legacy like this man? And that's just like one part of it.
Well, it just happens. It just
does.
Happens. And that's the thing. You know, you made a good comment there. What can I do to be like Mike? You know, and pardon the pun, but... Mm-hmm. As we grow in our recovery and we work in our 12th step, which is the step that, you know, is all about service, and that is the key and secret to ongoing or longevity in recovery is giving back and giving away what we got And that creates the greatest defense, and one of the greatest, or one of the founders, Mr. Bill W., he had talked about that in one of the chapters in one of our books, that the greatest defense against the next drink is hard work and you know, with a newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do that, you know, these stories will happen because we've experienced it. We've seen people come in. We see them grow. We've gone through some stuff. We've done 12-step calls. We've gone into the deepest, darkest parts, right, John?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know, and as we move on to our reward, those people that we help will step forward and talk about the, you know, how grateful they are that that person was in their life. And, you know, just like my former partner, thank God.
Absolutely.
Thank God, you know.
And you know something, anybody that doesn't know the history, and I don't think I've ever really shared the history. I think I did once, but it was, I don't know, it was about 12 years ago. And I was standing out front of the old First Steps Sober House, and it was over next to 101. And I was sitting there talking with Richard, and Richard introduces me to this guy. And he says, "Hey, I want to introduce you to this guy," because at that point Richard was like, you know, he would call me every once in a while and say, "Hey, listen, you want to go to a meeting?" I was like, "Are you out of your mind? Hey, you going to no meetings?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got $5." So he introduced me to Chris. I remember Chris walking up, and he went, "So you're John Hollis. So what are you willing to do? You ready to get? You know, what are you willing to do?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me, man?" I said, "Listen, dude, I ain't here to see you. I'm here to see him. Don't even talk to me about that garbage. No, I ain't ready to do nothing. Well, hey, when you're really, really ready, you come on back." I was like, "Oh, my God, man." That was our first meeting. That was 12 years ago. And you know something? Everything he said was true. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to a break. But before we go to that break, got to thank some sponsors here. It is the 10 to 11 hour, and I want to thank Brain Training Center of South Florida. I want to thank Sound Pillow. I want to thank Holistic Center and Atlantic Shores Hospital. And, of course, we want to thank the First Steps Sober House, who is a sponsor of all of our shows, and we appreciate that.
At Brain Training Centers of Florida, our goal is to help you discover and unleash your brain's complete potential. We employ brain state conditioning, an individually tailored method of balancing, harmonizing, and optimizing the brain. The Brain State Technologies method involves collecting and analyzing an individual's brain waves and producing personalized exercises to balance and harmonize the brain. This system is at least 100 times faster than most of the systems available today. Brain Training Centers of Florida is licensed and certified to operate the brain training system provided by Brain State Technologies. If you have questions about the Brain State conditioning technology or to schedule an appointment, please call Jeff Cole at 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com and unleash your brain's complete potential. Call 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com.
Are you suffering from pain or symptoms that traditional medical doctors are unable to treat or understand? At the Holistic Healing Center, we have the solution to these kinds of problems. Our professional staff will assess your symptoms and create a personal treatment plan to restore you to health and wellness. Treatment plans include acupuncture, massage therapy, mild hyperbaric oxygen therapy, colon hydrotherapy, heavy metal testing, bionutritional therapy, and much, much more. To schedule a consultation or for more information, call 305-919-7877 or go to our website at holistichealing.com. At the Holistic Healing Center, we will restore you to optimal health and wellness, mind, body, and spirit. Please don't wait. Call 305-919-7877.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with sound meditation therapy designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound pillow therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound pillow meditation therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound pillow meditation therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let sound pillow therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll-free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. Or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com. Good mental health is key to a happy and fulfilling life. But when it's compromised by addiction or psychiatric disorder, the only solution is professional help. Atlantic Shores Hospital is a private substance abuse and psychiatric facility offering a complete range of mental health services, including adult inpatient mental health care, adult inpatient substance abuse, dual diagnosis, and detox from substance abuse. Atlantic Shores Hospital has helped hundreds in our community to get on the road to recovery and reclaim their lives. Call Atlantic Shores Hospital today, toll-free, 888-771-2711. That's 888-771-2711. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Online at AtlanticShoresHospital.com. They're located at 4545 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. Atlantic Shores Hospital, serving South Florida for 20 years. Family members, you can't wait any longer. Call today, toll-free, 888-771-2711 for a free consultation. Atlantic Shores Hospital, treatment for change. Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Shafflin graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994. For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Shafflin today, or go online at briansTherapy.com. Again, call Brian Shafflin, 561-843-0152, to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152, online at briansTherapy.com. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. Now, back to today's show.
Welcome back, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, and of course, I'm John Hollis, and I'm out of breath. And we're back. We're back with Christy from the First Step Sober House.
Yeah.
And we have a lovely young lady with us tonight, and she is from the Second Chance House, which is a part of the First Step Sober House, correct?
Yes, it is.
How did that all come about?
Well,
very interesting story, actually.
Oh, really? the Second Chance program for women is now First Step's female program, and it arose out of a necessity to help women find their recovery. It follows First Step's structure, zero tolerance, and basically all the same rules and regulations with the exception as they pertain to women,
okay.
Which is, none of my business. So,
and I guess your ex-wife is...
My ex-wife, yeah. She's at the helm over there. And, she was involved in another program before.
I got to just interrupt for a minute, okay?
How is it to work with your ex-wife?
Oh, God. Inquiring minds want to know.
I got to ask that question because I think of, like, even, like, you know, doing anything with my ex-wife, and I get, like, this image of a noose. Go ahead.
She pulls the lever.
But, of course, I'm still working on that.
Yeah, well, be progress, not perfection,
absolutely,
buddy.
Absolutely.
But, you know, thank God for recovery. And, you know, the process of recovery teaches us how to reconcile our life. Well, why can't it help us reconcile relationships, too? There's a healing process. There's an ownership process. And then there's the amends process. And, you know, we were able to do that. And we are best friends today. And I love her dearly.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the mother of my children. And the kids got the ultimate payoff from that because they have a mom and dad that can get along. They can browbeat each other. They're not at war. And they have two comfortable homes to live in.
And that being said, that process that you're talking about, that process of you healing and then your relationships around you healing, it kind of just fell into place over time.
Yeah. Well, you know, we get out of our own way, and God works his wonders.
You know, somebody told me one time that the steps were a process for me to work on while God was repairing me. Kept me out of his way.
Yeah.
So, Jamie G.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are
you? All right. We're going to move this mic down just a little bit for you.
Move up
on it. There you go.
Okay.
All right. And Jamie's here with us. You've been sober since 6/28 of, or no, you were born 6/28/9.
No.
No, what's 6/28/9? What's this?
09.
'09. So you got 6/28/09.
Yes.
That's when you got sober, or you were that's your birthday?
No, I was. No.
Oh. Okay.
No, 6/28/09.
All right. So when you finally made the decision that this was going to be your date, I'm sure there were some things that happened way before this that took place in your life that got you to the point where you said finally on 6/28/09 that I'm done.
Of course.
And you grew up in South Jersey.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Vineland.
Oh, no kidding.
Vineland, Onion County.
Wow.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, that's where all these onions are growing down.
Did you ever hear
there.
Of Gibbstown or Paulsboro?
No.
Did you ever hear of Woodbury?
No.
Okay, well, never mind. Never mind.
She's a Jersey girl.
Yes, I'm from South Jersey, so that's why I was wondering.
Look, Vineland's in the countryside area.
Yeah, I know.
I'm south of Camden, buddy.
You know where Camden is?
Of course. Of course I know where Camden is.
Everybody knows where Camden is. It's just a little short ways from what's at Northeast Philly.
Northeast Philly.
So, didn't start till how old?
Well, I guess I started, you know, like 17.
Okay. So, but you didn't see yourself as a problem child.
Was I a problem child? Yes.
Well, I mean, problem child with addiction.
No.
I think we're all problem child, if you ask our parents.
Yeah.
But
looking back, I see a lot of, you know, addictive traits that I had as a child.
Okay, like what?
Just, you know, depression.
Okay.
Eating disorders.
Okay.
Just, you know, I hated life, basically.
And did you find that as you were going through the process of growing up, you were like always felt like you were on the outside looking in?
Of course, yeah.
Just felt like, you know, you were unique, and because that's how when I was growing up, I always felt like I was like the square. The round peg trying to be banged into a square hole. I really did. I just did not. I felt out of place everywhere I went.
I just never felt good enough. Yeah. You know, and I had some different things happen when I was a child that, you know, I guess made it worse.
And I've gone through those same experiences. You multiply the trusting level of a child, and then you start putting that into your future endeavors in life. You never trust anybody.
Right.
So by the time you were 17 and you took your first drink, or you took your first whatever.
Yeah, drink.
Was it a drink?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you took that first drink and you got that warm, fuzzy feeling that said, wow, you know something? Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Is that what happened?
Well.
Did you dance? Did you, like, talk?
It was fun. Okay. You know, I was always, like, the girl that was the life of the party, you know. I always had a lot of fun.
You had the lampshade on and all that.
No, not that, you know, but. I just, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Okay. So, but when you look at it as fun, and I got to tell you, anybody that's listening, I would be a liar if I didn't say that there was a certain portion of my life with
with my drinking and drugging that I had fun. But then it got ugly. And when you start weighing it out that the fun nights compared to the uglies, and I can tell you that there was lots of uglies at the very end. There was no more fun. And especially some of the people I woke up with. But that's besides the point. One of the things I want to ask you is that you, for 10 years, have really dealt with your addiction aspect. So it really, from 17, how old, if you don't mind me asking, how old?
I'll be 34 in a month.
Okay, so you're 34. You're a baby.
Can't believe you just heard me say that.
It's all good. She's blushing. You're never supposed to ask a woman her age unless you're on the radio. So you're 34. Mm-hmm. So 17, you rolled for a few years, maybe from the age 24 to now is when you really started seeing problems.
Around 26, 27.
Okay. And what were those issues?
It just progressed, you know, of course. I went from, you know, drinking on weekends, going out with friends, you know, partying with, you know, other things. You know, I could say no, and then it got to the point where I couldn't, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to say no anymore. It was every day, and that's when I realized I had a problem.
Did you work during this time period?
Yeah.
Did you go to school or anything?
No, I always worked. I always, you know, I don't want to say my life was manageable, but, you know, I maintained a job. I have two children as well, you know. I had them.
There's something that needs to be said for that because, you know, for the person that is homeless on the streets, destitute and has nothing, you know, you can see that, you know, hey, listen, there's something majorly wrong here. But somebody that is in denial that says, listen, I have a job, I'm paying my rent, all of my needs are met, and I'm taking care of everything, how is this hurting anybody? I'm not really hurting anybody. The denial runs deeper for that. So would you say that really kind of like hurt you in a way that you were, I don't want to say hurt you because it didn't hurt you, but at the same time, do you find that process that you went through of you saying, you know something, I'm working, it's okay, you know, I'm at least, you know, maintaining my lifestyle, but I use a little bit, but who am I hurting? Did you find yourself saying that in denial?
I mean, I would probably say that to other people, but I knew I had a problem.
And when did, and you finally figured that out around 26, 27?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the leap? How long, because I know it took me 20 years. To finally make that choice. How long did it take you to finally say, okay, you know something, I'm done?
It took a while. I never really knew about any, you know, programs or any recovery or anything.
Okay, so you had nobody in the family or no friends?
Oh, I had plenty of alcoholics and addicts in the family, just none of them recovering. Mm-hmm. excuse me. It took me getting arrested a few times, you know, 3 days here, 4 days there.
Lately.
Little stuff, and then...
It's been rough.
Hey, that's all I could handle. And then one time I got arrested, and I did 43 days.
Oh.
Which I know to a lot of people that doesn't sound like a lot, but for me that was horrible.
It's a turning point.
It was horrible. And actually when I had gotten arrested, I was grateful, almost, you know. I wasn't even really all that upset. I had actually prayed the day before. I had not prayed for probably like 6 months. I mean, I've always, you know, I grew up with God and everything, and I went like 6 months only because, for one, I felt so guilty to pray to him, and I felt I didn't know what would happen. I knew God answered prayers, and I wasn't sure. I wanted to know what answer he was going to give me, and then one day I just had it, and I just like, God, please help me. I was like, but just please don't let it be handcuffs. And the next day, of course, you know, but I was just like, you know, okay, I have to do this. This is the only way. I knew that was the only way.
Do you find that being in a position of sobriety today, that your needs are a little bit different? You know, I'm sure you sit around with the guys and you can kick the conversation and talk, but I think sometimes women's issues run a little bit deeper than guys' issues. And do you find that you really need to, like, heal from those deeper issues and you need to really get to a point where you
may be able to share them with another person, but most importantly, you're able to start accepting some of the things that have happened in your past.
Oh, yeah. I have to be that. You know, I have to be able to accept those things. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of, you know, issues, and I've come to deal with a lot of them, you know, a lot of resentments from my childhood.
Let's look at the eating disorder, because I think it's really important. Female listeners that are listening right now, a lot of times when you're dealing with addiction, you have these other addictions that you're dealing with, like eating issues, like cutting, like depression. A lot of those things take place, especially from a lot of the females that I've interviewed and sat and talked with. Mm-hmm. And they all say the same thing, that it usually starts out with bulimia. It usually starts out with an eating disorder. And as that starts to come under control, they kind of jump ship and they go to another sinking Titanic, alcoholism or drug addiction or something like that.
You don't need to have an eating disorder. Just kind of drugs. I don't know.
Do you find that this process that you, once you stopped using, that you had to really start looking at the other things too?
Oh, yeah. Once I stopped using, I went back to that. You know, and my sponsor used to tell me, you're just keeping your disease alive.
Mm.
And, you know, I still struggle with that.
Mm.
You know, I don't act out on it, but I think about it. You know,
okay.
It's just like any other disease.
So it's all hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's look at the fact that there are certain mental health aspects of what we go through in our recovery that sometimes we need outside help. And the Big Book actually talks about this.
Oh, yeah.
Where it says, hey, listen, you know, we need to go maybe seek professional help on certain situations, that the 12-step approach is not a cure-all for everything. But if you work it, you can definitely maintain your recovery, but outside helps is definitely a consideration for people. And it's okay with our philosophy of 12 steps, because our literature tells us it's okay. So with that being said, have you found that outside help, or are you looking for other forms of outside help, has been something that you've looked towards?
I had outside help
mm-hmm.
before,
okay.
You know, I came into recovery. And I was always on medication, you know, for depression. And actually, since I've came into recovery, I haven't needed it.
Okay.
You know, thank God that's enough for me.
So with your 12-step approach, you got a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You got a group.
I have the best sponsor. Yeah, I have a home group.
You got a home group. Okay. And you work the process. What is the process at the Second Chance House? What do the females have to go through on a daily basis? Besides, you know, who's stealing whose toothpaste,
right?
Or who's taking whose shampoo?
You know, there's so many good things.
She ate my peanut butter.
Yeah, right. Thank God I have a really good house. So it's, you know, but we just, you know, we have 3 mandatory meetings a week.
Mm.
you know, we have curfews. You know, there's different phases. You know, so with every higher phase, you get more responsibility. And, you know, it's great in ways, and I can't stand it sometimes, but it's definitely what I need. You know, I've been here 2 times. The first time I decided to get sober.
Oh, okay, so let's stop there for a minute.
Okay.
So this is the second time back to the Second Chance House.
Yes.
So what took place the first time out the gate?
You mean after I graduated?
Oh, you graduated.
You mean, what do you mean,
so
the first time?
So you graduated, and then you came back to the Second Chance House.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you feel that maybe, like, you looked at your graduation like it was a graduation?
Like a graduation from high school?
Like a graduation from, like, okay, it's
now,
over
I was,
with, I don't have to continue on with this, I graduated.
No, I still continued. I still continued for, I don't know, 4 months or so.
I mean, you believe that this is a, you know, a daily reprieve.
Oh,
based
of
on,
course, definitely.
Okay, so, and you believe that it's all hinging on our spiritual condition.
Definitely, yes.
So if that's the case, there is no graduation.
Well, from Second Chance, not from recovery.
Okay, so, but again, I'm just asking the question based on if you got through that graduation process and you started to put everything else in front of your recovery. I know for myself, and I still have the tendency that, thank God, I have a support system around me that says, hey, John, you know, leave the bone alone, John. You know,
put the bone down and go, you know, go in a corner and relax, because I can really put things in front of my recovery. And if it wasn't for my support system, and now getting to a point in my recovery where I can actually say, wait a minute, you know something, I need to back off. I need to go to a meeting. I need to call, you know, somebody, just talk with somebody, get outside of myself. Were you doing those types of things before you relapsed?
Yeah, of course.
You were.
It was the whole relationship.
Ooh,
that
big R word. There it is.
Not
the truth
to.
Comes out.
Yeah.
Bam.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How long were you in first or second chance when you had the relationship?
I was there maybe a month and a half before.
A month
I started
and a half.
Seeing this guy, I think.
A month and a half. And how long were you sober when that took place?
3 months.
So it's the they talk about it in literature. And the boy meets girl on the fellowship campus, you know, and you got two sickies. What is that? Two snowflakes making
make
a blizzard, and
two snowflakes make a blizzard.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had the privilege of watching Jamie come in, and she was really part of what was going on, and she moved on. She completed the program, okay, and she achieved her certificate of completion, and she. She moved out, and she and a lot of people do this. I mean, she made her stake out there in the world, and I look at it as congestion, you know, and that might not be the right word, but that just popped in my head. And you know, we all carry plates around, and as we go out in the world and we grow in our sobriety, we start adding more things onto the plate other
Absolutely.
Than our recovery process.
Absolutely.
And you know, this disease is cunning, baffling, powerful in it, and we're creatures of the easier, softer way. And as our plate gets more and more full, we start to find ways of uncrowding it or taking the congestion away. And how easy is it to sweep away things like conversation, communication, and work with our sponsors, going to meetings on a regular basis, or working with another suffering alcoholic or addict, and you know, meeting attendance, and not forgetting where we came from. And we start sweeping, because you know it's very easy to do that, because it's not a power bill, it's not the rent, it's not the job, it you know something more tangible. And new in our recovery. You know, maybe a year coming up on a year, or several months, or maybe even two or three. That's still new in recovery,
mm-hmm.
especially when we've beaten ourselves up for 20-some-odd years.
You think?
Okay, and you know, these things get swept off, and we stop doing what we know has helped us, and we drop our structure away. We drop our consistency away.
Well, and that brings up a great point, because when we go back to Jamie, that structure that you had and that feeling of, and I'm sure you had it because I've had it, that feeling of, you know something, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And you kind of go out into the world, and as Chris said, you know, you start, like, eliminating the things that you think might be congesting your life, you know, jamming you up in time frames. And, well, you know, maybe I don't need to make that meeting anymore. Maybe I don't need to call my sponsor as much. Maybe Mr. Wright will, you know, help me sponsor, you know, we can sponsor each other.
Oh, boy.
You know.
Light the fuse.
We can, I remember I went to my first treatment, and this is no kidding, like no kidding. I remember going to a place called Arms Acres in Carmel, New York, and I walked through the door, and there she was, Mrs. Wright. It was, and I could just see it. I mean, over the process of being there for about a week, I could see that she was going to sponsor me, and I was going to sponsor her. We were going to live together. It was going to be a white picket fence experience. You know, we were going to get the dog. We were going to have the 2.3 kids. It was going to be lovely. And then she went and got drunk, and then I went and got drunk. So it was, you know, not a good move. And it was amazing, because all of these people with multiple years in recovery were saying, John, you don't want to do this. Two sickies don't make a welly. You don't want to do this. And what happened was they were all right, and I had to go back into the situation and say, you know something, you were right and I was wrong. I shouldn't have put myself in that position. Do you find that that's the case with you too?
Oh, definitely. I get told all the time.
So
yeah.
So for any women that are listening right now at the Second Chance House.
Don't get in a relationship.
Ooh.
Do not get in a relationship. There are so many things that we need to work on.
So this is through experience that
yes,
you're saying
definitely
this.
Definitely through experience.
You're not just throwing it out there because
no,
it sounds good.
Nope.
Okay. And that's your own hurt, your own pain, your own suffering, your own humiliation that you had to go through. It all started with, and most relationships, I don't know about yours, but mine, when I got involved in a relationship, it was because I didn't want to deal with me.
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
I like this so far.
Yeah, this is good. This is going well.
This is great. Well, listen, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have more of Jamie for the next hour and 15 minutes. And we're also going to have another woman's perspective on this whole thing. We're going to have Michelle in here. Michelle's going to talk to us about women and recovery. And you know something? I think we all need to listen, especially the guys out there. We'll be back right after this message.
Find the answer, and all the time I know.
Are you suffering from pain or symptoms that traditional medical doctors are unable to treat or understand? At the Holistic Healing Center, we have the solution to these kinds of problems. Our professional staff will assess your symptoms and create a personal treatment plan to restore you to health and wellness. Treatment plans include acupuncture, massage therapy, mild hyperbaric oxygen therapy, colon hydrotherapy, heavy metal testing, bionutritional therapy, and much, much more. To schedule a consultation or for more information, call 305-919-7877. Or go to our website at holistichealing.com. At the Holistic Healing Center, we will restore you to optimal health and wellness, mind, body, and spirit. Please don't wait. Call 305-919-7877.
At Brain Training Centers of Florida, our goal is to help you discover and unleash your brain's complete potential. We employ brain state conditioning, an individually tailored method of balancing, harmonizing, and optimizing the brain. The Brain State Technologies method involves collecting and analyzing an individual's brain waves and producing personalized exercises to balance and harmonize the brain. This system is at least 100 times faster than most of the systems available today. Brain Training Centers of Florida is licensed and certified to operate the brain training system provided by Brain State Technologies. If you have questions about the Brain State Conditioning Technology or to schedule an appointment, please call Jeff Cole at 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com and unleash your brain's complete potential. Call 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com. Good mental health is key to a happy and fulfilling life. But when it's compromised by addiction or psychiatric disorder, the only solution is professional help. Atlantic Shores Hospital is a private substance abuse and psychiatric facility offering a complete range of mental health services, including adult inpatient mental health care, adult inpatient substance abuse, dual diagnosis, and detox from substance abuse. Atlantic Shores Hospital has helped hundreds in our community to get on the road to recovery and reclaim their lives. Call Atlantic Shores Hospital today, toll-free, 888-771-2711. That's 888-771-2711, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Online at AtlanticShoresHospital.com. They're located at 4545 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. Atlantic Shores Hospital, serving South Florida for 20 years. Family members, you can't wait any longer. Call today, toll-free, 888-771-2711. 2711 for a free consultation. Atlantic Shores Hospital, treatment for change. If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with sound meditation therapy designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field
becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll-free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488, or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now back to today's show.
All right, welcome back. Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. I'm John Hollis, and I'm here with my co-host, Christy, from the First Step Sober House. And we have our, our guest in tonight, which is Jamie J. And Jamie's been really good. She's been here drinking her Fiji water. and I remember when I used to drink a lot of little Haiti water.
Up on the river.
Absolutely, man. Hey, let me tell you something. There was nothing like a spigot behind somebody's house in Little Haiti, because when you're thirsty, you'll drink anything. Okay?
Yeah, boy.
Absolutely. And, Jamie, you've really brought us a great show tonight in the process of that. You got sober. But most importantly, talking about women's issues and dealing with the relationship factor. And when we left, we were talking about, you know, how you made that claim from your own experiences that it's not healthy to get in that relationship.
No.
Now, let's get to, like, some of the nitty-gritty about that.
Okay.
Because and seriously, when you're first getting sober, mm-hmm. and you're lonely, and you don't want to have to look at your issues, and you want to feel secure, mm-hmm. and I think women are more into the security factor than the men are, because, you know, women want to feel security. Where men, you know, kind of are not that way. And Michelle's in there shaking her head, no. No. She wishes she's in here right now and tear me up. But do you find that that's one of the reasons that you went towards a relationship?
I think the main reason I went towards a relationship was so I didn't have to look at myself.
Okay, yeah. So and that was more so it than the security factor?
Yeah, because I really don't think he brought me any security. Honestly.
You see that in hindsight, or did you see it?
No,
there?
I saw it then.
Okay.
I just didn't want to look at myself.
Okay.
Basically,
Now, when a relationship went bad,
uh-huh.
and I think this is the same for women and men. You know, when the relationship went bad, how long did you hang on to it, saying it's going to get better?
A couple months.
Okay. Well, that's actually pretty good. Because I know some people that get drugged through the mud for years.
Oh, but it was really bad.
Okay. So now the solution of that. What is part of your solution not to have that process take place in your life again?
When I first came back, I prayed for God to give me the willingness to not want to be in a relationship. Because, I mean, looking back, I did the math one time. I think I've been single 9 months since I was 14 years old.
Wow.
You know, and that's ridiculous.
Okay. So it gives you the experience on how to grow up some.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've seen this repeatedly.
Oh, yeah. You know, I can speak for myself. I mean, when I remember when I got separated and I had a hole. And I wanted to fill that with something. You know, and I remember my sponsor telling me that, well, you know, Chris, maybe you should take a good 3-6 months and just learn how to live with yourself. And be okay with you. And I said, yeah, okay, yeah, but, you know, and I didn't want to hear it. And, you know, he was right. And I think that there's a definite period of time in which a person, you know, how can I be of service to someone else if I'm not, you know, of service to myself first? I have nothing to offer. And yet I'm trying to reinvent the wheel that's missing all its spokes, you know.
And I think it's also, this phase of our development is about us forming a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to put other things in front of forming that relationship with God first and ourselves, then we really kind of missed a boat on this whole thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are you doing today to form a relationship with God?
I'm just continuing to do, work my steps, and I pray. I pray a lot every day, like at least probably 4 or 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I try to always maintain that conscious contact with God, because when I relapsed, I remember telling my sponsor, I just don't feel God around me anymore. And so now I try to make sure, I prevent that from happening, do everything I can to prevent that from happening.
And it shows on your face, because you have that glow and you have that look in your eye.
I'm just kidding.
You have
nice
that
try, John.
The sparkle in your eye. You can't see her, so I'm trying to explain here. She's got the sparkle in her eye. She's got that thing that you see when somebody's getting sober, you know what I mean? And you have it all about you. And so you're putting out all of the pieces back together, and you're putting God first, and you're forming that relationship with God, and through the process you're forming a relationship with yourself and the people about you and your friends and your network, and through that you're beginning to learn who you are.
Yeah.
And something somebody told me one time, recovery's like Alzheimer's. I get to meet somebody new every day. So I don't know how true that is, but I know it's true for me anyway. I don't know about you, but I know it's true for me. So do you find that as you're going through your day-to-day, interactions with people around you, because that's where I find that my recovery, I'm really starting to find now, Chris, you'll appreciate this, my recovery today is real easy everywhere but home. I'm finding it's more difficult now for me to practice the principles of all my affairs, because, the people that love me the most, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if I, kick off my shoes and leave my socks over in the corner and drop my shirt over here. I just take it for granted. So I have to work harder at home to carry my principles than I do out in the street. Now, do you find it when you get home at night that the girls that you're around every day, it's real simple to work this out in the streets, but now you get into close corners and you got 3, roommates, and now you have to practice the principles of love, tolerance, patience, consideration, and all of those things. Real difficult to do at times.
Very difficult. I have this one girl in my house right now, and I love her to death, but over the last couple months, I just began to not like her. And
What part of it?
What part of her don't I like? Just her actions, so I just feel like she's not getting it, and she's been around for about 6 months now, 5 months, and it's just very frustrating, because you love someone so much and you try to help them so much, and at times I do find myself just, blowing up at her.
Mm.
I'm in charge of that house, so, every little thing that she does wrong, I'm on her, and then I'll go in my room and I'll think about it and be like, I was probably a little hard on her. And so, yeah, it is more difficult when you're, around someone every day.
I was on a roof, and I was, when I first got sober, years ago, and I had maintained a little bit of recovery, and then went back out for 15 years. But I was on this roof one day, and I was a roofer. And I remember I was working with this guy, and I wanted to kill him. I mean, literally every day for about 3 weeks, this guy would just break my chops every day. And the guy that I worked for was in recovery and had multiple years in recovery. And I remember saying to him, I'm going to throw him off the roof. And he said, listen, this is what I want you to do. He brought me to the part of the big book that says, pray for him for 2 weeks. And at that point, I said, pray for him for 2 weeks. Are you out of your mind? Just try it. Just try to pray for him for 2 weeks. So I prayed for him. So the first day I prayed for him, I got to the job. I wanted to throw him off the roof. And we're going to go to a station check right now, real quick.
WWNN, Pompano Beach.
So at the end of about 3 days, I'm still wanting to throw this guy off the roof. And he shows up one day, and I made my decision that this wasn't working after 3 days, and I was going to throw him off the roof that day. And I had visualized it. I knew what I was going to do. I knew when I got next to the edge, I was just going to kind of push him off, and I had all of this, you know, I'm a psychopath sometimes, so I had all these things going on in my head. I get to the job site, and he brings me an egg sandwich and a cup of coffee and starts to talk to me about how he's having a problem with his wife and how he's been bringing this to the job every day. And he apologizes to me for anything that, you know, might have taken place. And I know that the boss never spoke to him. That just unfolded, and it was through God's help, by me praying and actually watching the process take place, that actually it unfolded in front of me, that God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, because I was ready to throw him off a roof.
Oh, definitely. I've been told to do that prayer so many different times.
How's that working out for you?
It works great. I've
had
to pray for I've prayed for you, Chris, numerous times.
Ooh.
So, you know.
We got an applause for that one.
And most of the time, it never lasts 2 weeks. I mean, my sponsor tells me you have to continue to do the whole 2 weeks, even if it's done after 3 days. But normally, I'll pray for the person for 3 or 4 days, and the resentment's gone.
So how do you carry the message to somebody that you don't want to carry the message to? I got to tell you. I mean, for myself, there are some people that get on my nerves.
Oh, yeah.
There are some people that call me up. Listen, I know people right now. That, and here I'm going to say this to all the love freaks out there, that I can't stand. Okay, if you're going to 12-step meetings, and you're saying you love everybody, you're not going to enough meetings.
And you're a liar.
You're a liar, because you're going to run into people that you, personality-wise, you just have conflicts with. You just have that yucky feeling. Now, they might be the best person in the world, but you got that yucky feeling. How do you get past that? And say, you know something, I'm going to treat this person with the same respect I would expect them to treat me. How do you do that?
I just, you know, I try to treat people how I want to be treated.
Okay.
I mean, and do I do that all the time? No, of course not.
I don't think I do.
But, I try to put my hand out to the newcomers. You know, I try to talk to them. One time, since we were just talking about people who we can't stand, there was this girl who I could not stand. I mean, she never did anything to me. She just totally rubbed me the wrong way.
They just opened her mouth.
Yeah, that's all she had to do. She just had to walk in a room, and I just was like, oh, I couldn't stand her. I just wanted to, like, kick her. And and one time we were at a meeting, and I was waiting. This was my last time, because I was waiting for my ex-boyfriend to pick me up, and she was the last one there. And I had actually prayed for her a couple times. I don't think I did the full 2 weeks. I had forgotten about it or whatever. But she was new, maybe like 2 months in. And I was the last person there. So, of course, you know, I was nice. You know, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And she just started, like, pouring her heart out to me about all this stuff that had been going on and, you know, her childhood, like everything. I was there with her for, like, a half hour. And I was just like, wow, you know, God is so funny in ways. You know, here I can't stand this girl, and now I have so much empathy for this girl. You know,
Well, that's how I started my relationship with Chris. And it's amazing. It really is, because the person that, you were just talking about, and it brought me to the understanding that what you were just talking about with this girl, that, you know, you're trying to be on top of her and all that. I'll tell you something, man. If you had told me 12 years ago that I would be sitting here with Chris doing what we're doing now in the way that we, you know, go towards a zeal towards recovery, I'd have told you were not. So the person that you can't stand today might just be your best friend 12 years from now.
Yeah.
Amazing,
yep.
Huh?
Plus, I do that too. I don't know. I've always had a problem with girls. You know, all of us women in recovery have, I think. But so Shannon, she tells me, you know, to be, you know, try to be nice to the people that I don't like. And I've done that, and there's actually this one girl who I could not stand, and Shannon actually made me one day. She's like, go say hi to her. So I did, and now, like, I just helped her come back, and, you know, I've tried to help her go to meetings and get a sponsor. And so it's funny how things work out. You think you don't like somebody, and then it turns out to be completely different.
For those of you who don't know, I'm gonna explain to you and enlighten you a little bit that starting on the 1st of April, we're going to be doing a U.S. stream from the news. We're actually moving to a newer station. And we're going to be, WNN is moving, and we're all moving with them. And we're putting cameras up. And we're going to be doing a U.S. stream, which means that you're going to be able to watch us at the same time that you listen to us on the radio and all the internet streams. And I wish I had the cameras tonight, because her facial expressions have been classic. Oh, it's written all over.
Which one would that be? The one where she looked across the table like, you're so dead.
Yeah. Well, that and the other one was just now when she said, Shannon told me to go over and, you know, speak with this animal. It was great. So I'm sorry.
That's
I didn't
okay.
mean to interrupt you. So the end result is that you went over and you shared with this girl and you shook her hand. And how'd you feel?
It feels good.
Okay.
You know?
Did you say, why did you make me do that? You know?
At first I did, and then you know, now it's just now I just do it, you know, because I see now it worked out the when I did it that time.
I know for me sometimes you know, it's my own self-esteem. You know, my own self-esteem tells me, hey, listen, you know, I'm lower than whale turds, so you know, this person is going to like me anyway. So why should I even, you know, go up and, you know, put my hand out? Because I already in my own mind talk my, you know, it's the story, I don't know if you ever heard the story, but there's a guy, he has a flat, and he's walking down the street, and he's like walking and walking and walking, and he finally sees this farmhouse in the distance, and he says to himself, wow, I wonder if they have a jack there. And as he's walking, he's going to say, you know something, I bet you they have a jack there, and the guy is going to give it to me. And I'm going to walk all the way out there, and I'm going to get to this guy's door, and he's going to give me this jack, and he's not going to let me use the jack. I can't believe that this guy wouldn't let me use the jack. Who is he not to let me use the jack? And he's getting all the way up to the door. And he knocks on the door, and he says to the guy, he says, you know something? Take your jack and shove it, and walks away. So I don't know about you, but that's my whole process in life. See, I can tell myself stuff in my head that by the time I actually get out there to actually put it out there, I've already disintegrated any chance of it being a real healthy situation because my mind just destroys everything. Relate?
Contempt prior to investigation, buddy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Keeps us in everlasting stuck and ignorance.
So have you learned, started learning? Because I have to learn it every day. I mean, I still go through it, and I think anybody that's honest with themselves will, you know, when you start to feel a little bit inadequate, or if I start to feel inadequate in a situation, the first thing I want to do is character assassinate the person in my mind. Now, there's a person named Roy Ratner, and, oh, that's right, Roy Ratner. He says that anger barbed, he said that character assassination, as long as it isn't barbed with anger, is okay. Now, I don't know how you can do that, so we're not going to follow that model. Let's follow the model that says that when normally I find something I don't like in somebody else,
it's
usually something I don't like about myself. So let's go back to this girl that you're dealing with.
Which one? The one at my house?
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love this girl to death. Mm-hmm. I really do. I just don't like
her. So what do you see in her that reminds you of you?
Her manipulation, the way she manipulates. She's such a manipulator.
We have a reflection.
I mean, I got there. It took me 10 minutes, but I got there, folks. I didn't want to just dive right in and power hit you because you'd be looking at Chris like you were going to kill him again. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to a break. Let's go to the videotape, folks.
Check out the must have the wrong house. Who's there?
West Nile Virus. Can I come in?
No, you can't come in.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Yes.
Hello, it's Lyme disease.
I am not opening the door for Lyme disease.
I'll be back.
Who is it now?
$5 billion in property damage.
What do you want?
I'm just spreading the love, ma'am.
Go away.
When household pests are in your home, you never know what kind of health and property threats they're going to invite over. This public service announcement has been brought to you by the National Pest Management Association. Visit pestworld.org to become more aware of the serious threats common household pests like mice, roaches, and termites can pose to your health, your home, and your family.
In May of 2000, Dave O'Karnikar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curves, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
In small towns and big cities, from coast to coast and around the world, Habitat for Humanity volunteers gather with purpose. Hand in hand, they come together. They may be strangers or they may be friends, but they are all builders of hope and homes. Hammers are raised, bricks are laid, dreams take shape, and another family finds shelter in a home they help build. Through their time and talents, Habitat for Humanity volunteers are helping change lives for the better, and in the process, maybe even changing their own lives as well. Together, we can eliminate substandard housing. Won't you join us? Support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your community or wherever your heart leads you. Now more than ever, please volunteer, get involved, and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
Standing at the crossroads, trying to read the sun. Tell me which way I should go to find.
All right, we're back. And, of course, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, and we're into our third hour.
Yeah.
The Power Hour. And we're having fun with Jamie J. And we're having fun with Chris D. And Chris D is the one of the co-founders of the First Step Sober House and also the head person in charge. And
BMOC, baby.
Big man on campus.
That's it.
And then, of course, we have our next guest that's coming up here very shortly, Michelle. And Michelle is eagerly awaiting in the wings. She's in the green room that's really gray. But she'll be in here momentarily. And, Jamie, I want to finish up with our conversation because at the end, when you see in other people, and that's what we were talking about, when you see in other people those things that you don't like about yourself, how do we get past? Help me to understand how we can get past. Not, you know, character assassinating the person because it's the same thing that we don't like about ourselves.
That's a tough question. I don't. Honestly, I haven't gotten to that point yet. You know, I try. I talk to my sponsor. Mm-hmm. I pray about it. And that's really all I can do right now.
Well, it's honest. And you know something? I asked you because I really don't know what to do with it sometimes. I mean, you've had to be in that situation.
No,
countless.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up that way.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and I butted heads constantly. And, you know, when I look back, and it's because we were so much alike that we saw our own reflections. And, you know, I have that. I remember when I came in as a client back in the 90s at First Step, and
I had a problem with everybody because they weren't making their beds. They weren't keeping the kitchen clean. They weren't keeping the living room clean. They weren't keeping the bathroom the way I liked it. I. And, you know, I remember my director putting his foot way up there and sticking it and leaving it for a while, telling me, who do you think you are? Look at you. Look where you're at. Look what you're doing. This is all about you, isn't it? And, you know, I went to bed that night, called up my sponsor, who basically gave me the same conversation again, like I needed to hear it twice. You know, and I prayed on
works.
It. And I said, God, you know, please, I don't want to. And I got up the next day, and because I wanted the kitchen clean, I cleaned it. Because I wanted the living room clean, I cleaned it. Because I wanted the bathroom clean, I cleaned it. Because I wanted to see more than just an old thing of creamer in the fridge, I went shopping, and I filled the fridge. And I did all this, and I kept on doing it. But most importantly, I didn't take credit for it, and I certainly didn't complain about it. And these were two things that my sponsor told me. Don't take credit for what you did, okay, because then, once again, it's all about you. And you're on your soapbox about everyone should be just as good as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm sitting in the community and I see people standing up talking about how great they're doing and how everyone should be doing it that way, that's usually the one person you see fall by the wayside fast, you know, because they're not willing to open themselves up to the possibilities. And the amazing part about the process I went through with that was that the guys in the house I was in, they began to follow along with that. And then we had this great house. It stayed high and tight, neat and clean. People wanted to live there. We became a family. And we worked through some problems together. We all ate at the same time. We did a lot of things together. There was that word, unity.
Wow.
You know?
Wow, huh?
And, you know,
unity, service,
and recovery.
Absolutely.
The three sides to the triangle, buddy.
And if you have a stool and you take one of those off, you're going to just collapse, right?
I think so.
Okay. So.
Two-legged stool?
And, well, we won't get into that. My doctor's not available right now.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you were here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we're going to, of course, have Michelle come in here. And we're going to talk. And we're going to keep you here.
Oh.
Because, you know, okay. When Michelle comes in the room, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about the female aspect of, you know, one helping another. But most importantly, how is it difficult for females to relate with other females? Because I think that it was said by yourself that you have a hard time, you know, talking with other females and trusting other females. And it's really kind of like easy for females to fall into like hanging out with all guys because they feel comfortable with that. And to really get interactive with another female and to start gaining a network of other females is a difficult thing for folks to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
I would, definitely.
Okay, so we're going to find out some of the ways to overcome some of those things. So we're going to go to our next break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a lot about that.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll-free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. 846-6488.
6488 or go online to soundspillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com.
At Brain Training Centers of Florida, our goal is to help you discover and unleash your brain's complete potential. We employ brain state conditioning, an individually tailored method of balancing, harmonizing, and optimizing the brain. The Brain State Technologies method involves collecting and analyzing an individual's brain waves and producing personalized exercises to balance and harmonize the brain. This system is at least 100 times faster than most of the systems available today. Brain Training Centers of Florida is licensed and certified to operate the brain training system provided by Brain State Technologies. If you have questions about the Brain State Conditioning Technology or to schedule an appointment, please call Jeff Cole at 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com and unleash your brain's complete potential. Call 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com. Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Shaflin graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994. For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Shaflin today or go online at brianstherapy.com. Again, call Brian Shaflin, 561-843-0152 to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152 online at brianstherapy.com. The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the step. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
Welcome back. Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. I'm John Hollis, and we're live on the air for 3 hours tonight from 9 to midnight. And, of course, the second half went great. We had Jamie Jane that kind of rolled into the third part of our segment, of our third hour. And we're talking about women's issues in recovery. And, of course, we've had Jamie G eloquently express her feelings on different things as she went through her process of recovery. But most importantly, she was able to give us an understanding of things that me and Chris just wouldn't think about. And that's like the interaction of females when they first get sober, the untrusting aspect of it, and all of that issue, all of those issues that come up, you know, when you start to get sober. And, you know, you're starting to build a network. And one of the things in the 12-step process is the men with the men and the women with the women, and we have a hard time with that sometimes. We don't want to deal with that aspect. So we're going into our third hour, and I want to thank our sponsors, by the way, of the third hour. From 11 to 12, we got Sound Pillow, Brain Training Center of Florida, First Step Sober House, and Brian Shaflin.
And the Brain Training Center of Florida is really actually pretty cool. They kind of put everything on you. Jeff Cole's great. Check it out. I think it's a great, great process. Train your brain, baby.
They wire you up and they pull a switch.
Something like that. But that actually is pretty cool.
Cool.
We have to go down.
All right, I'll do something.
We could come back like totally different guys and all the women will love us. Well, I don't think so, but that's okay. So we have Michelle M. here with us. And Michelle, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Michelle's been on before.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So let me ask you, when you start to look at the female aspect of recovery, when you start to deal with the female aspect of recovery, and you start to deal with, coming into the 12-step process and coming into the fellowship, do you find that it's hard for women to approach each other and to be a part of each other when you're first coming in together?
Well, speaking from my experience, it was quite difficult for me to extend myself, and it was much easier, as Jamie alluded to earlier, to make friends with some of the guys. It was a non-competitive nature. I drank with the guys. I drank like the guys, most often considerably more than some of the women friends that I had. And so coming into recovery, I'm quite shy by nature, and I found it difficult to extend myself, and it bothered me. Because I was waiting for that warm embrace, and why weren't they approaching me, and how am I supposed to find these relationships and form them? So I discussed it with my sponsor, and she gave me an assignment. It was to extend myself and introduce myself to three women at each meeting I went to. And I distinctly recall saying, well, what do I say after I say, hi, my name's Michelle? And she said, practice. And it was something that I actually had to practice. And as silly as it sounds, it took effort. It took effort because I was intimidated. I felt like I didn't have much to offer. I'm not a competitive person by nature. And,
So you would say self-esteem issues.
Oh, major. Absolutely. And that's exactly what it was. It wasn't the women that were, on the other side. It was all my fear. And so once I practiced that, I spoke to several of my friends, and they asked me to try praying, that asking God to invite a sober woman into my life. And as crazy as that sounds, I did just that. And today I have several well-established, wonderful women in my life. My very first relationship ever in sobriety was with my female sponsor. And through that relationship, we grew a level of trust that I was able to, expand into other female relationships. And now I have quite a great network of friends, and I am eternally grateful for that because it's essential to be able to confide into them.
And Jamie, do you feel that is something that you're working towards yourself right now? Is that something that you find easy for yourself to get involved in? And I've heard it explained, and I've heard women explain it like this: other women are catty, I can't trust them, all of this stuff. Do you find some of those blocks when you're trying to make relationships?
No, not so much anymore. Maybe when I first came in the first time, but. That's not true.
Okay, so when you, let's look at this from the point of view that somebody might be listening tonight, that it's the first time they're listening to a recovery show. They're sitting on a rack in the Broward County Jail, and let's put
oh
it like
Lord.
This: it's an ugly situation. They're just getting onto the rack. Maybe they've been smoking too much crack, and they got there on the rack. And they've tried recovery before. And they found all of these things that we're talking about right now as reasons and excuses for not proceeding in recovery because, well, I can't go there. They can't be trusted. They're catty. They're this. They're that. I can't make friends there. All of those excuses, what would you say to somebody?
They're excuses.
Okay.
Let's be honest. A lot of those girls are catty and can't be trusted. But, my sponsor and everyone else tells me, you look for the winners, so
that's what I do.
So now that brings up a point where, you know, I'm going to ask Chris's opinion on this. Do you think that the male interaction is a lot simpler for, like, two guys that just come in and kind of, like, meet each other and hang out? Or do you think it's there's, like, that still that those things, those egos that get in the way and those arrogance that get in the way and pumping of the chest and all that stuff? Or,
well, you know, men, I got sober with men, okay? So, you know, my experience, yeah, we are men, right? and it was easier for me to say, hey, what's up, dude, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, it's an interesting point that you're all making here. And you mentioned about, you know, females in jail and stuff like that, and men in jail. And I could understand how easy it is to come into the rooms of recovery with a level of lack of trust because you're incarcerated. And I know that the women go through the same thing men do. We're not so much different when you really kind of boil it down. You get into a place where you think you're making friends with people, but what they're really doing is they're setting you up to owe them a favor. And then they come a calling on that. And, you know, I can remember that from my incarcerated environment where a guy was showing me the ropes. He was helping me out. I'm like, everyone's looking at me, and I'm like, I was so grateful that this guy was like, you know, because he knew everything. And so I thought, you know, and then he would exact the tribute later. So I was being set up, you know, and I didn't know it. And that was my first run through the penal system. And then after that, I kept my guard up. And I didn't take anything from anybody. I didn't want anyone's help because that always came at a cost. And I always often wonder how the women, because, you know, it is competitive, okay? It's easier for women to, and, you know, from my own personal experience, to see them gravitate towards the men because that's the way it's always been. The men pay more attention to the women, you know, than the women will because, you know, the women will sit there and start nitpicking that, oh, well, that girl looks like that, or she's wearing that, blah, 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 you know, and then, but...
She stole my peanut butter.
But, you know, and what is one of the things that we always, you know, and I was talking about this on the way up there, our senior commitments, and that's to you know, to look good, be right, and be in control. When a woman is with men, they're going to be at the helm there a little bit more than the men will. Why? Because, well,
I'm not even going to say.
Yeah, okay, John, sit back, enjoy the ride, would you, buddy? You know, and I'm not trying to put down anything here, and get me very clear on this. And I know because when I was first getting sober, the women would approach the men. And, it, you know, they're like, oh, you know, because we're eliminating something out of our lives, and that's the drugs and alcohol. So what naturally kicks in more are our hormones. And, you know.
Our what?
Our hormones, John. Okay. That's not pulling a woman in night's jeans down. That's how you make them.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I hope.
Oh, my God.
Okay. But it's. The gravitation, where's it easier to go to? And this is an easier, softer way thing. You know, are we, for us guys, I mean, is it easier to bond with the men or is it easier to flirt with the women?
Easier to flirt with the women.
Oh, absolutely. I'll take door number two every time, you know. And where does that lead?
Hey, let me tell you something. Well, that's part of that ego process. Because if you stroke my ego enough, now I think I have self-esteem.
So I think. And, you know, so I can imagine for the females that it's difficult because they're comparing each other. It's the competitive thing you were talking about. They're, you know, who's going to get the one up on it and who's got the best information and so on and so forth. And always the contempt, you know, I'm not going to trust her because I've been burned by that factor so often, you know.
April or Jamie, you want to say something? It seemed like as Chris was talking, you had this look on your face, like you wanted to say something.
You're a jerk.
No, when you had said the girls approach the men, I think it's the other way around.
Well, it's for lack of better words in the conversation I was having here.
I know. I wouldn't have commented, only he wanted me to.
I think I need to
express
yourself.
I put my neck on a guillotine here. You can pull those freaking things.
You need to express yourself.
I think I have more trust issues with men than I do with the women. Definitely. Without a doubt.
So let's think about this. So basically now, probably going into your recovery and the length of time and you being the second time back at Second Chance, you have those issues. But when you first started out, did you look at those issues or did you look at the fact that...
I probably didn't look at them as much, but they've always been there.
Absolutely. But you're deeper in your recovery now and you're starting to unfold with those things. Mm-hmm. But back at the very beginning, if you were a newcomer, that wasn't the way. You liked that attention.
Oh, of course. I still do. But
ego builder.
Oh, okay, so
I wouldn't be being honest if I didn't say.
And I'm glad that's what this is all about. This is about throwing out the real stuff on the table. Do you enjoy the understanding that, you know, somebody shows attention?
Frankly, I'm practicing getting comfortable with it. You know, in all honesty, I came in to get sober, and I was a little confused. To be perfectly frank, I felt like if you were inviting me to have dinner, it was an invite because you wanted company for dinner. And, in all reality, that didn't go so far. It may have been naive thinking, but this time in, it's definitely been my approach. You know, 12 years ago, I absolutely enjoyed the attention, but, you know, I also...
Did you end up in a relationship 12 years ago?
I did, actually. I ended up in a relationship 4 months into sobriety.
Okay. How'd that work out for you?
Well, I got married 2 years later, and we set up shop, so to speak. Bought a house within a year. I had a daughter who was 10. We did the softball games on the weekends, did, you know, brownie meetings during the week, and somehow we eased out the meetings that you were speaking about earlier. You know, we took that off our plate, where we used to go to meetings every night and go to gratitude dinners and, you know, enjoy all the dances. We just didn't have time for that. And unfortunately, my husband died an alcoholic death, and, you know, I did stay dry through that period. And I emphasized the word dry because I had no program of recovery. I hadn't had a sponsor. I never worked the steps. And ultimately, 2 years later, I went out. And I was out for approximately 2.5 years. And within the first year, I did find myself in a relationship, a very twisted, sick relationship, mind you, with somebody that had a little less time than I did. And... actually, I was very intrigued by that. It was the attention that excited me. The gentleman was maybe 2 years younger than me, where, you know, as a young mother, I tended to date men just maybe 5 or 10 years older. So it didn't work out so well.
Shame you identify.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah? Isn't it amazing how when other people talk, we kind of, like, understand exactly where they're
from? Is she blushing or is that makeup again, John?
That's a sunburn at night.
Moonburn. Go ahead.
More. Truth be told, it was a relationship that I should not have gotten into, and I knew it almost immediately, but I didn't know. I didn't have the voice to say no. And so I stayed in the relationship for 8 months longer than I should have, and it actually turned into a dangerous situation. In that, I'm talking about, you know, emails to employers, phone calls, you know, 500 texts over a two-week period. I just didn't know how to end it, yeah.
Mm.
And, you know, it was a very manipulative situation, and I didn't have the voice. I certainly had no steps behind me. I was just, in all honesty, you know, my relationship with my sponsor was all about this person. The phone calls were not about my program in recovery. They were all about, what do I do? How do I do this? What do I say? And, you know, her recommendation was...
Is that called a him call?
I'm not sure what that means.
Hi, sponsor. I'm calling about him.
Yeah. And the fact is that she did allow me to work through this on my own, and it was through her. She shared her own experience with me. Had she said, "Oh, you've got to end this now," I would have been the defiant one, as I had been, you know, all my life. So she worked with me, and we don't laugh, but we, you know, we kind of reflect back now at the growth. Now that I've put my sobriety forward, and I'm no longer in that relationship, you know, we can look back and see where the restoration to sanity comes in. And she's always reminding me about that good step too, which means in my life today that I don't have to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. So I'm a little more selective today, and in my approach to things.
So it sounds to me like that, you know, and I know because everything I just said was basically based on hindsight, because I can look back at it and see where I made the mistakes. But setting boundaries, and you had mentioned having none before, and how, you know, the dinner, now you're going out just for dinner, and that's probably up front made very clear. You know, we're going out for dinner, you're sitting there, I'm sitting here, thank you very much, it was a great meal, it was a great conversation, and have a good night.
Yeah.
As opposed to, all right, you know, I bought you dinner, there's got to be a prize for
this
now.
And what are
the
expectations?
You know, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a give and take
thing. And keep in mind, I mean, it's always been suggested, you know, to travel in circles and with crowds. And you know, there's great promise in that, because there's the, you know, the basis for friendship. And any long-standing relationship is always going to be formed on the basis of friendship. And that was not true ever. In my past experiences. So it's all about doing things different today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 3 years into it, I can see the suggestions and how they fit into my life.
So far, we have had an excellent show tonight, all the way from hour one into hour two, and now we're well into hour three, and we have to take our last break for the night. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to talk about two and crucial things, and one of them being how God restores us to sanity. And as we go through these processes that we're talking about, our power we plug into every day is that power and understanding that God wants us to continue to grow. As it says in the 11th step, seek to improve. We'll be back right after this message.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488, or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com. At Brain Training Centers of Florida, our goal is to help you discover and unleash your brain's complete potential. We employ brain state conditioning, an individually tailored method of balancing, harmonizing, and optimizing the brain. The Brain State Technologies method involves collecting and analyzing an individual's brain waves and producing personalized exercises to balance and harmonize the brain. This system is at least 100 times faster than most of the systems available today. Brain Training Centers of Florida is licensed and certified to operate the brain training system provided by Brain State Technologies. If you have questions about the Brain State conditioning technology or to schedule an appointment, please call Jeff Cole at 305-796-6979 or go online to
braintrainingcentersfl.com and unleash your brain's complete potential. Call 305-796-6979 or go online to braintrainingcentersfl.com. Are you ready to create a healing change of your mind, body, and spirit? Brian L. Shafflin graduated from City University of New York at Queens College with a degree in psychology in 1980. He then went on to complete his master's in social work from Hunter College in 1982. Brian has been licensed and board certified in Florida since his move in 1994. For over 25 years, Brian has been providing counseling and psychotherapy for children, adolescents, and adults. His areas of expertise include problems related to addiction, depression, anxiety, and trauma. His goal is to create a therapeutic atmosphere where clients can feel safe addressing the areas in their lives that cause imbalance and stress. Brian's belief is that each person is unique and should be viewed with a holistic approach, balancing the needs of the mind, body, and spirit. Call 561-843-0152 to talk with Brian L. Shafflin today or go online at brianstherapy.com. Again, call Brian Shafflin, 561-843-0152 to create a healing change with commitment, integrity, and new solutions. And Brian accepts Medicare and most insurances. Call 561-843-0152 online at briantherapy.com. The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now back to today's show.
All right, we got some sound effects going on here at the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. Go ahead, do some squeakies.
Ooh, what's going on in the background?
Just ain't right.
No.
That was Chris's idea, by the way.
Chock full of nuts here, buddy.
You know, I had Danny Baywatch on one time, and he said, you know, I'm waiting for him to bring in the med cart. So, listen, we've had a great show tonight, and we had Jamie J on, and she's from the Second Chance House. And she is deep into her recovery and helping out and carrying a message to the new girls coming into the Second Chance House and learning how to live life on life's terms, one day at a time like the rest of us sitting here. It doesn't matter how much time you have to deal with life on life's terms. And how do I seek to improve? Well, you know, something in most cases for me, it's about stop, pause, pray, and, you know, understand that I'm not the center of the universe today. And when I do that on a regular basis, life tends to go pretty good. It's when I buck that system that life gets ugly for me. And anybody that I've talked to, they all go through the same thing. When they buck that system, it gets ugly for them too. So we have a choice today. Our choice is that we can plug in, we can be better people, we can improve who we are every day. And how do we do that? We do it through trial and error. And thank God for a 10-step. Thank God for our inventories daily. Thank God that we can look at those things and we can grow from them. And that was what, in my belief, the program was, it brought me to. It brought me to the understanding that I am not God. And, you know, far from it. Even though I thought I was, I had to break that image that I really thought I knew what was best. And once I could see past that, that I, you know, have the ability today to take responsibility for my wrongs, and through those wrongs I can grow and I can experience life in a new way today
instead of looking at it as defeat, I can look at it as a growth opportunity.
Mm.
And I think that's where, you know, that's what separates the men from the boys, so to speak, as it talks about in the sixth step.
Yep.
Or the women from the girls, you know, the ladies from the girls. And, you know, I want to thank, of course, Jamie, and I want to thank Michelle for coming in and dedicating not only Michelle with pizza.
yeah, thanks for the pizza.
Yeah, thanks for the pizza,
so
Michelle. That was great. And but
bring her back next week, would you?
yeah. We're doing a full layout cover. So if you want, it's $5 cover charge. And you can give us a call through the week and contact Chris.
That's great.
Bob Moranci's right now listening to the show. The general manager saying, "Hey, where's my cut?" So, well, listen, again, we appreciate you coming in, and we appreciate you sharing your time with our listeners. And is there anything that you would like to say to any ladies that are listening right now?
I just want to say thanks again for having me, and ladies, stick with the women and put your hand out there. We're available.
And with that being said, Chris, anything in your final final minute, because we're going to give the last minute to the girl that we had under the flame tonight.
Well, you said it all, John. I mean, this is about change, and this is about discovery. And, you know, it's a learning process. No one ever perfects it. You know, it's progress. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that you know, just be men and women have a lot of the same issues. You know, and yes, there are ones that are specific to that gender, but we're all the same, really. I mean, we suffer from a disease that tells us that we don't have a disease, and then that disease takes us to places, and we live with regret, shame, and guilt, and we have to work through that, through the process of you know, we inventory, look at the parts that didn't work. We get right with ourselves as well as with God, and that's the most important thing, is we develop that relationship with a power greater than ourselves that I have come to understand is God. And the rest will slowly start to fall in place. So be patient. It will happen if we get out of our own way.
Jamie?
I think Chris said it all. You know, just take suggestions. I mean, and that is so, so important. I mean, I wish I would have taken all the suggestions when I first came. You know, these people know what they're talking about. You know, this book, you know, if we just follow the directions in this book, it's foolproof, you know, so.
Cool stuff. If you have been listening tonight, you've heard three segments. The first segment was the Sanctuary in Delray Beach. We had Nancy Steiner, the founder and executive officer, which is also a part of Crossroads of Antigua Foundation. And we are glad that they were with us, and what great information and great hope she brought to us. We also had Christy and a little bit of information on the First Step Sober House and how the process works. Then, of course, we had Jamie G. She spent some time with us in looking at women's issues, and then Michelle looking at women's issues. And then, of course, we did our wrap-up here, and I want to thank everybody for listening. Tune in tomorrow, 2 o'clock, between 2 and 3. And it's Monday through Friday, 2 to 3, every day. Saturday from 4 to 6, and then we'll be back here next Sunday night from 9 to midnight. And I think we might try to get the same crew back as long as, you know, nobody's out of town, like in Nashville or something. Yeah, I understand that somebody's going to Nashville.
We'll
fly on Mondays. Okay. Well, listen, we'll be back next week, and thanks for listening.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears.
Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll-free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. Or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. This program is sponsored by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day right here on AM 1470 WNN. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Steve Kane website at stevekaneshow.com.
Electrical work is not for amateurs. When you have an electrical problem at your home, you can try to fix it yourself, but the results can be catastrophic.